than you.
How many of you have ever heard of the Chinese 863 program? It's something you need to be aware of. In March of 1986, former Chinese Premier Deng Xiaoping approved a plan to come up with new advanced technologies for defensive and offensive warfare. Seven areas of technology were specifically targeted. Some of the advancements that have come out of that research are why China is poised to rule the planet economically. But super nuclear weapons are also part of the project. We look into this deep, dark hole Tuesday morning at 9 with Lev Navrazov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Victims of Hurricane Katrina are attempting to recover from the massive storm. American Red Cross volunteers have been deployed to the hardest hit areas of Katrina's destruction, supplying victims left homeless with critical necessities. By making a financial gift to support relief efforts, the Red Cross can provide shelter, food, counseling, and other assistance to those affected by Hurricane Katrina. The work has just begun. Victims of Hurricane Katrina need your help now. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. If you're on Medicare, you need to be here on the wake-up call Tuesday morning. Did you know that with this new Medicare drug discount program, many of the top brand name drugs are costing a lot more than the price the VA has negotiated for veterans? For instance, Lipitor, one of the most utilized drugs by seniors, costs about 60% more with the discount plan than veterans pay for it. There are other gaps in this plan, too. We talked about it before, but it's time to bring you back up to speed on this issue. Be here Tuesday morning at 8 when Dee Mahan of Families USA talks about unfair Medicare on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can I to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Help, but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And, we have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free, long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. Oh, well, day two of my fast here, and it's going pretty good. It's going to be interesting. See what we do for 2 weeks on this. As I do this fast, it's a cleansing fast, to spiritual cleansing, biological cleansing, just all that kind of stuff going on. I can't help but wonder how this nation would be different if there was some spiritual cleansing going on up in Washington, some spiritual reflection, some taking on the issues. I want to also share with you something that's coming up tonight at midnight. Tonight is at midnight. Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed. And I'm going to be there. In fact, we're going to be broadcasting live from Farmington. And we're going to be on the air from midnight until 1 o'clock. The execution is scheduled for 12:02. We're still hopeful. We're still prayerful. It's going to the Supreme Court this morning. I think about, and also Irene J. Smith is going to be in the studio at midnight, and I'm going to be broadcasting it to her through the phone. So we're going to have, both of us are going to be here. You'll be able to hear excerpts from the show, and you'll be able to talk to people that, or listen to people that are going to be there tonight as well. The vigil starts at 9 o'clock at the College Church, right there at the corner of Grand and Lindell, St. Xavier's Church at SLU. At 9 o'clock is when the vigil is going to start, and then we're going to drive up to where the execution is supposed to take place. I think that, I believe that if this happens, this is such a scourge, this is such a lie, this is such a wicked, wicked, wicked thing. And this is why the death penalty is so wrong. This is one of the reasons, aside from the morality of it. Apparently in Virginia, there is a race going on between a Republican and a Democrat. And the Democrat is Catholic. And the Democrat says, my church doesn't believe in the death penalty. I don't believe in the death penalty. Let God decide that and do what God's supposed to do. And the Republican is a Jay Nixon type who was running on his enthusiasm to kill. He's gone so far as to run a commercial saying that his opponent has said that he wouldn't execute Hitler. And it feels as if, in some respects, in too many respects, that we're not becoming more enlightened the older that we get, the older that this country gets. Rosa Parks died last night, 90-something years old. And while the signs have come down, there's no fact about it. While there are no racist laws on the books, let's not call them segregation laws. Let's call them what they are, what they were, racist laws. That said, that black people had to get up from their seats when a white person got on the bus. I know the signs have come down, but golly. Bennett's statements are still floating in the wind. They're still, in a historical perspective, and in the continuum of time, it was just a millisecond ago that Bill Bennett said that if you wanted to end crime, kill all black babies. And he didn't take it back. And he got angry about not being able to say it. The energy, the actions, the beliefs are still there. And nowhere do you see this represented more than when we're talking about the death penalty. Marlon Gray is on death row right now. Not because he killed anybody. Not because he was tried and convicted on the evidence. Not because he did anything. Marlon Gray is on death row right now because Nels Moss, a white prosecutor, wanted to have a case that would propel him into the circuit attorney's office. Marlon Gray is on death row because these were two white girls. Marlon Gray is on death row, is facing the death penalty because there were two white witnesses that testified against him. Two dead white baby girls, two white men that came and testified against him. Missouri, St. Louis. And a lying, dishonest, disreputable, I'll do anything to get elected, bad man, Nels Moss, as the prosecutor. What kind of odds do you think you would need in order to come out of that situation alive? If you want to take the pulse of a country, If you want to evaluate what a country is about, walk into their prisons. See how they treat people. They said that Abu Ghraib was a reflection of the manner of man Saddam Hussein is. Okay? I'll accept that. What does Potosi, what does Farmington say about the manner of people, the citizens of the state of Missouri, or what does it say about the manner of man that Matt Blunt is? This is just outrageous. This is just outrageous. And for those of you that want to come tonight to either participate in the vigil or follow the caravan to Farmington, you can come on down to the college church right there at Lindell and Grand. Lindell and Grand. That's where folks are going to be meeting. And I dare say that this is going to be a very, very, very sad evening if our good government moves to execute an innocent man. And I think that we are in such a remarkable place and time in history. Clarence Thomas moved rather quickly, moved individually, all by his lonesome. He moved to try to prevent a woman in prison from having an abortion. He moved by himself. He put a stay. He stopped that. Stopped that. He was concerned about an innocent life. Huh. Ha, 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 ha. We have another innocent life waiting for the wheels of justice to move as they are supposed to move. This is awful. This is an awful thing. And I'm going to have a phone number for you all to call because it's never too late. It's never too late to do the right thing and to move against injustice. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how time works? Rosa Parks died last night. Marlon Gray is set to be executed tonight. And they were both victims of the same racist environment. Same racist system. Same racist, mean-spirited, lawless, cruel justice system. .454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Or you can, how about this? You can check me out at White Rose Society. In fact, you can check out Marlon's interview. We did, 3 hours? How's that? 3 hours, Howard? We did 3 hours a week ago today. A week ago today. So if you want to go back a week and to the 19th, no, to the 18th, WhiteRoseSociety.org, take a listen. You don't have to believe me. Take a listen to the show. You have 3 hours to pick from. WhiteRoseSociety.org and listen with your own ears. And don't forget, tonight at midnight, I will be broadcasting live from the site of the execution of Marlon Gray. Hopefully I'll be coming home. Hopefully I won't have to broadcast. And Irene J. Smith is going to be in the studio. We'll be throwing it back and forth. That's tonight at midnight on WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We are going to take a break. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 70 at Grand, all roadways are reopened after an earlier stall is cleared. Northbound 55 between Richardson and 270, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Lewis to the Merrimack River Bridge, everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs to Blanchette, everything looks good. Northbound 270 from Sappington to Doherty Ferry, nothing to report. Westbound 270 from Riverview all the way to Newhalls Ferry, nothing to report there as well. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, Broadway is closed due to working on the exit. You can use 11th or 14th Street exits to get around that construction area. Northbound 170 between Ladue and Del Mar Boulevard, look for road construction. The left lane is closed and traffic backs up all the way to Ladue at this hour. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, heavy volume on the I-55 exit lane. Westbound 64 before the 5570 split, everything looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way to Cleeds Landing, nothing to report there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the PSB, that ramp is on the move. And Route 94 to Youngerman, look for those lights not to be working. They're reportedly on red flash. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly cloudy in the morning, then early afternoon becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, widespread frost early in the morning. The high should be around 60 on Wednesday. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low at around 40. And then on Thursday, pretty much the same, partly cloudy skies with a high only around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under cloudy conditions, we have 40 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 42. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
How many of you have ever heard of the Chinese 863 program? It's something you need to be aware of. In March of 1986, former Chinese Premier Deng Xiaoping approved a plan to come up with new advanced technologies for defensive and offensive warfare. Seven areas of technology were specifically targeted. Some of the advancements that have come out of that research are why China is poised to rule the planet economically. But supernuclear weapons are also part of the project. We look into this deep, dark hole Tuesday morning at 9 with Lev Nabrazov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
It's a story foretold 19 centuries ago, as contemporary as today's news, but you won't see this movie in any theater. You will see it at 7 p.m. Sunday, October 23rd at Trinity Tabernacle in Bridgeton. Left Behind, World at War, stars Academy Award winner Louis Gossett Jr., Kirk Cameron, Chelsea Noble, and Gordon Curry in a story based on the bestsellers Left Behind and Tribulation Force. Follow the lives of those left behind on Earth following the rapture of the church and be part of an exciting new kind of outreach, the first motion picture ever to open in churches, not theaters. Proceeds will benefit the growing ministries of Trinity Tabernacle. See Left Behind, World at War, Sunday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at Trinity Tabernacle, Assembly of God, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton. For more information, call 314-291-8839. That's 314-291-8839.
Wake Up Call Family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Influenza is a serious disease.
Are you talking to me?
If you have asthma, diabetes, or other chronic medical conditions, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you're 50 or older, yes. If your child is between 6 and 23 months, yes.
Are you talking to me?
If you live or work with those at high risk, yes. Influenza will kill as many as 36,000 people this year. It's that serious. Prevent influenza. Get immunized. A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases.
If you're on Medicare, you need to be here on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning. Did you know that with this new Medicare drug discount program, many of the top brand name drugs are costing a lot more than the price the VA has negotiated for veterans? For instance, Lipitor, one of the most utilized drugs by seniors, costs about 60% more with the discount plan than veterans pay for it. There are other gaps in this plan, too. We talked about it before, but it's time to bring you back up to speed on this issue. Be here Tuesday morning at 8 when Dee Mahan of Families USA talks about unfair Medicare on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and south. Oh, mercy, mercy me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be now.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My goodness gracious, we have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. I guess it depends on what you want to say for this government of ours. It depends on what you want to say, and sometimes when you decide to come on out and to say some stuff, Well, let me scratch all that. Scratch all that. The point I want to make is that if you... telling lies is hard work. Because you have to remember so much. You have to have the memory of 1,000 Pentium computers to be a good liar. You have to be able to remember everything that you said. Didn't our military tell us that they don't keep count of the soldiers, the enemy's bodies? Didn't they tell us that? Didn't Rumsfeld, didn't somebody ask, well, how many Iraqi people, how many people have been killed? We don't count that. Well, apparently they do. Because now they're trying to show that they have success in Iraq by counting the number of dead Iraqi bodies. Eager is the word that is used. Eager to demonstrate success in Iraq, the U.S. military has abandoned its previous refusal to publicize enemy body counts and now cites such numbers periodically to show the impact of some counterinsurgency operations. The revival of body counts, and that's, again, I started my show off this morning with, what have we learned from the past? It was discredited in the Vietnam War. It's just foul. Imagine, think how many of you armchair warriors out there, how many of you Chinese-made, support our troop bumper sticker-wearing folks out there would lose your mind if there was a website or if there were television shows broadcasting the number of dead American bodies as a good thing, as proof of a success against Americans? You'd lose your mind. You would lose your mind. The revival of body counts, a practice discredited during the Vietnam War, has apparently come without formal guidance from Pentagon leadership. Military spokesperson in Washington and Baghdad said that they knew of no written directive detailing the circumstances under which such figures should be released or the steps that should be taken to ensure accuracy. Instead, they describe an ad hoc process that has emerged over the last year. So far, the releases have tended to be associated either with major attacks. On Saturday, for example, the U.S. military reported 20 insurgents killed and one captured. 6 days earlier, the Marine Division, 2nd Marine Division, issued a statement saying that an estimated 70 suspected insurgents had died in Ramadi. Hmm. 70 suspected insurgents. So we're including the civilian body count up in that, I guess, as well, huh? Just to make us look good. How twisted. We need to show that we're looking good by... We don't honor our own dead bodies. We don't put the flags and show the flags over our own dead bodies as they're coming back from Iraq. We parade around their dead bodies. Is that twisted or is it just me? Does that strike anybody as deeply twisted? Mm. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Privately, several uniformed military and civilian defense officials have expressed concern that the pendulum may have swung too far, with body counts now creeping into too many news releases from Iraq and Afghanistan. They also question the effectiveness of citing such figures in conflicts where the enemy has shown itself capable of rapidly replacing dead fighters and where commanders acknowledge great uncertainty about the total size of the enemy force. More stupid stuff from our good government. More stupid stuff from our good government. During the Vietnam War, enemy body counts became a regular feature in military statements intended to demonstrate progress. But the statistics ended up giving poor indicators of the war's course. Pressure on U.S. units to produce high death tolls led to inflated tallies, which tore at the Pentagon's credibility. In Vietnam, we were pursuing a strategy of attrition, so body counts became the measure of performance for military units. The Vietnam experience led U.S. commanders to shun issuing enemy death tallies in later conflicts. November 2003, we don't do body counts on other people, said Donald Rumsfeld. Except when the president's polling numbers are falling, except when the support for the war is falling, except to try to say something that is not so, that we are having success in Iraq. And success, proof of success, are dead Iraqi bodies. Really. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We're taking a break. 454-0400 is my phone number. Stay with me.
Ever heard of the Chinese 863 program? It's something you need to be aware of. In March of 1986, former Chinese Premier Deng Xiaoping approved a plan to come up with new advanced technologies for defensive and offensive warfare. Seven areas of technology were specifically targeted. Some of the advancements that have come out of that research are why China is poised to rule the planet economically. But supernuclear weapons are also part of the project. We look into this deep, dark hole Tuesday morning at 9 with Lev Navrazov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Washington. A Senate subcommittee looking into the UN oil for food scandal says British Member of Parliament George Galloway lied in his testimony when he said he never benefited from the program. The subcommittee says its evidence clearly indicates Galloway solicited and received 8 oil vouchers from the government of Saddam Hussein from 1999 through 2003. Another conclusion is that Galloway's wife, as well as a political campaign that he ran, both got money from the oil program. Plus, the Iraqi government received over $1.5 million in kickbacks from the Galloway vouchers. The subcommittee has been looking mainly at individuals who benefited from the program, which was designed to allow the country of Iraq to sell some of its oil to purchase food and medicine for its people during a time when it was under sanctions and not allowed to sell the oil. A spokesman for Galloway calls the conclusions a conviction without trial and says the member of parliament absolutely denies all of the charges. And Dateline Newark, New Jersey. Retired Army General Tommy Franks, who led the invasion of Iraq, is making more money now than he ever did in his whole life. He has lucrative speaking engagements everywhere. Strangely enough, all of his appearances are only open to the printed press. Radio and TV are not welcome, and neither are tape recorders. Some New Jersey veterans are expressing outrage after they found out that an upcoming speaking engagement in Camden this Saturday is going to be paid for in large part with taxpayers' money. Frank's military expertise is somehow valuable to Outback Steakhouse, as their officers invited him onto their board of directors for $60,000 in cash and stock, plus another $100,000 in restricted stock options. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Did you know that you can have the Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System installed by United Home Craft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is Leaf Blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Home Craft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The Leaf Blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the iTex Trade Exchange. Your iTex trade dollars are welcome.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
Participate in an owl program at Pere Marquette State Park on Route 100 in Grafton, Illinois on Saturday, October 29th at 7:30 p.m. After the program, we will take a 1.5-mile night hike to listen for owls. A portion of the hike will be uphill. Please bring one flashlight per family. Drinks and marshmallows for roasting will be provided. Admission is free. To find out more, call 618-786-3323. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
If you're on Medicare, you need to be here on the wake-up call Tuesday morning. Did you know that with this new Medicare drug discount program, many of the top brand-name drugs are costing a lot more than the price the VA has negotiated for veterans? For instance, Lipitor, one of the most utilized drugs by seniors, costs about 60% more with the discount plan than veterans pay for it. There are other gaps in this plan, too. We talked about it before, but it's time to bring you back up to speed on this issue. Be here Tuesday morning at 8 when Dee Mahan of Families USA talks about unfair Medicare on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Amina Washington, and I just called because I heard your show yesterday, but I was in class. I didn't get a chance to respond. But what I wanted to say was that I'm a junior at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, and I study criminology. And there was some buzz going around yesterday that one of our parole board members was being threatened due to the fact of what's going on with this execution. And I just wanted to say that.
Hold on for a second. There was some buzz going on where?
Around campus at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. There was talk about a board member was threatened. People were making phone calls threatening her because of, you know, I guess whether or not she was going to vote for or against this execution. And I just wanted to say
the execution of who?
I can't remember his name exactly, man. Okay. You've been talking about it this morning.
Okay, hold on for a second. I'm just trying to figure this out, what you're saying, because it's curious to me that there isn't a name of the person that this was about, but go ahead and say what you say, that so-called buzz going on at the university campus yesterday.
Okay, well, what I was trying to say was this, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Basically, I think that, you know, I'm a student. Mm-hmm. You've been in the field a long time. I think that it is hard.
Hold on. You haven't even asked a single question yet. As a student and a person that is supposedly a student at the university, you're supposed to be at a place in your life where you are engaging in critical thinking.
Exactly.
And one of the first things that you should have done when you came to the show was to ask me a question about what had been talked about on the show. Instead, you've come to me. And I anticipate what you're going to say with some form of criticism about something that you don't know whether it happened or not.
Okay, well, ma'am, I don't want to get off on a tangent.
Well, we're not. Wait a minute. That wasn't a tangent, sweetheart. Okay, that wasn't a tangent at all. That is a question. Wait a minute. That's a question to you as a student who's supposed to be critically thinking before you come to the airwaves with stuff. What did you do to find out whether or not this was true or not?
Ma'am.
Yes.
What I want to ask you then, can you inform our people or just everyone in general of what the process is when a person when it determines whether or not a person is executed?
Excellent question.
Is that up to the Missouri Parole Board or is that up to our governor that we elected?
Excellent, excellent, excellent question. And have you ever listened to the show before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So if you had listened to the show last week, a week ago, the week
I work and go to school.
Okay.
I can't listen that often. I mean, it's
it's not
to be able to listen to you. I really enjoy your program.
That's not a criticism of you. I'm simply saying if you had had an opportunity to hear the show a week ago, you would have heard an explanation of this. One of the things that I said on the show a week ago was that there are a number of people and a number of institutions and a number of places that people can call to have their to articulate their concerns,
mm-hmm.
to discuss their opposition to the execution of this innocent man. We spent 3 hours with Marlon Gray is his name. We spent 3 hours with his father, with his uncle, who is a pastor at one of the AME churches, with a woman that came all the way in from Germany in opposition to this.
Mm-hmm.
We had people calling. We had people from that worked at the prisons where Marlon Gray was when he was arrested, the night that he was arrested for this crime, calling in and talking about, and we were explaining what this case was about and why this was a miscarriage of justice and why we have an innocent man on death row.
Right.
So one of the things that we said during the course of the show was that, okay, you can call the governor. Okay, the governor, it hasn't gotten to the governor's hands yet, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I gave out his number. You can call the governor. One of the places that you could call also, you could call the attorney general, because it was through the attorney general's hands that Marlon Gray ended up at the top of the list for being executed.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's out of Jay Nixon's hands, call him and express to him your concern and also explain to him that you understand that he's going to be running for office next year, that he wants to be the governor, and we won't
right.
let a governor get into office based on the blood of an innocent black man. So that was another place. Then the third place that we told people to call the Board of Probation and Parole. What role do they have in it? Well, Marlon Gray had requested that the Board of Probation and Parole hear his case.
Right.
They had told him that they were going to let him know whether or not they were going to hear his case. So we were telling people, you know what, we have a connection on the Board of Probation and Parole, that one of the state representatives appointed his mother to that board. And this is an opportunity, because I was opposed to that because I didn't think it was right for people to appoint that. I thought it was kind of cronyism. I thought it was nepotism. You don't want to do that. I was told that, oh, no, she's going to be with us. It's very important that she is there. So I said, okay, they say we have a hookup there. Call that office, too. Call that office, too, and express to them your concern about an innocent man being on death row and express to them that you want them to recommend clemency. Call all those places. And don't you think those are all great ideas?
I mean, yes, those are all great ideas. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in that there's power in numbers. But
That's
at the
right.
same time, we as a people, we need to know that, you know, I mean,
no
calling, making threatening comments.
But wait a minute, sweetheart. Wait a minute. How do you know that she's been threatened? How do you know
because
that?
Because we've been talking about it.
Who? You talked to her?
No.
Who have you talked to? Who have you talked to? Who have you talked to? It's not public knowledge. It is not. I knew you were a constituent of Roddy Hubbard. I knew that that's what this was about. You're not concerned about this case. You're passing rumors out here to say things about the people of the African community that are not true. Don't do that. Check your facts first. If you want to find out if something is true, do your homework. And the question that you should be asking is that why isn't this person out on front on this?
Why isn't she out on front on this? We were told that this was our hookup. And Rodney Hubbard has lied about a lot of things. I don't have time. I only have 4 hours show to talk about the things that Rodney Hubbard has been dishonest about in his career. So the fact that that a statement, don't let yourself get whipped up. Check your facts. Call her. Ask to hear these alleged threats. I don't believe it for 1 second. I have been advocating for people on this show to do things for a lot of years. And never once has anything like this ever happened. I don't believe that. And you should be questioning it yourself. Try to be critical in your thinking. Don't let yourself be used, sweetheart. You called because they told you to. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Wilma's impact is proving to be huge. There are trees and power lines down all over the roads.
Power's out just about everywhere. I imagine it'll be 3 or 4 days before anybody gets power down.
Man is in Naples. Florida Power and Light says it could take 3 to 4 weeks to get the power back on to everyone in southern Florida. Alex Stone, ABC News, Miami.
The storm is blamed for at least 8 deaths. Wilma is not expected to merge with the nor'easter that's now bearing down on the coast, an area that meteorologist Matt Newman says does not need more rain.
The recent heavy rain that we've seen across the northeast makes it especially vulnerable to downed trees and power lines because of the saturated ground.
The seas are churning off the coast already. Heavy rain is threatening to cause flooding in regions where rivers are already swollen. Rosa Parks is being remembered as a civil rights pioneer. Parks died in Michigan at the age of 92, her lawyer says in her sleep. ABC's Louise Schiavone takes a look back at the simple act that sparked a revolution.
When Rosa Parks decided 50 years ago in Montgomery, Alabama, not to surrender her bus seat to a white passenger, she forever changed the conversation about racial equality. Looking back at that moment, Parks once said that she refused to get up, not out of physical weariness, but because she was tired of being treated that way.
7 people suffered only minor injuries, miraculously, when a commuter train slammed into a tractor-trailer truck in Glendale, California. Officials say the truck driver is very lucky to be part of the rare fraternity of people to get hit by a train and survive. The trucker had cleared the tracks, but backed up when he realized he'd turned the wrong way onto a street. Other drivers honked at him, but he apparently did not hear them. This is ABC News.
Top 3 reasons I'll be at Home Depot's end of season savings event? Well, number 3 is 30% off. You got to be kidding me. Come on. Number 2 is they're not kidding me. You get 30% off, you know. And the number 1 reason, it's that whole 30% off thing again.
Hurry in now to the Home Depot and get 30% or more off all yellow tag merchandise throughout the store. It's the end of season savings event only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
My friend Sarah and I are on a church trip, talking about signing up for the new Medicare prescription drug coverage.
I'm not sure what to do.
There's a lot of help out there. You can call 1-800-MEDICARE or compare the drug plans at Medicare.gov.
Stevie could show me.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there's help in the community. There was somebody at the church last week.
Was he good looking?
Sign up for Medicare prescription drug coverage begins November 15th. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Vice President Dick Cheney's name has come up in connection with the CIA White House leak. ABC's Chuck Sievertson has the details.
The vice president's chief of staff, Louis Libby Jr., took notes about his conversations with Cheney, according to what the New York Times reports from lawyers involved in the case. The attorneys say the notes seem to differ from Libby's testimony to a federal grand jury that he initially learned about the CIA agent's name from journalists. The notes, for the first time, put the vice president into the effort by the White House to learn about the agent's husband, who was questioning the administration's Iraqi nuclear evidence. Talking with Cheney about this wouldn't be illegal, but if Libby concealed it from investigators, he could be accused of trying to impede the inquiry into the leak to the media. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
To promote the upcoming auction of the original lyrics of John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance, a Canadian auction house reenacted the bed-in for peace that Lennon and Yoko Ono held in the same Montreal hotel room where the two created a media frenzy by putting on their pajamas and inviting the world for 8 days of protest and asked the world to give peace a chance. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning.
Morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, with St. Louis Rams head coach Mike Martz out for the season, the question remains as to whether he will ever return to the sidelines at the Edward Jones Dome. While Rams president John Shaw currently expects that Martz will be the team's head coach next year, Shaw says that how the rest of the season plays out could play a role in determining Martz's fate.
Mike won't be coaching this team, so as we go on, as we go forward from here, it would be hard to evaluate Mike as it relates to the team's performance. But that's not to say that where the team is and the direction that we're going to take wouldn't somehow affect Mike.
Martz is in his sixth season as head coach of the Rams and has compiled a record of 53-32. The team has made the playoffs four times during his tenure, including a Super Bowl appearance following the 2001 season. Missouri is about to carry out its fifth execution of the year. Marlon Gray is set to die by lethal injection at just after midnight for his role in the rape and murders of Robin and Julie Carey in 1991. Gray's attorney, Johann Martin Descher, claims there's no evidence her client aided in these murders. Gray is one of four men convicted in the Carey murders. Motions requesting a stay of the execution and an opportunity to file another appeal were turned down yesterday. Gray yesterday had a hearing with the State Board of Probation and Parole, and their recommendation is not yet being made public. Residents in part of South County are speaking out about a long-range plan to revitalize their area. Lime residents were given a chance last night to voice their opinions on the Lime Comprehensive Plan. Lori Fiegel, a spokesperson for the St. Louis County Planning Department, says there will be no buyout or change in area services. She says the plan is about more than the planned casino in the area because it addresses issues including land use, development, transportation, housing, parks, and community facilities. The planning board is expected to make a recommendation to the county council by the end of December. Finally this hour, thousands of nutrition professionals are in St. Louis to review the latest findings in nutrition research, and the creator of the South Beach Diet says that research supports his work. Dr. Arthur Agaston is at the American Dietetic Association Food and Nutrition Conference. Agaston says the South Beach Diet emphasizes eating whole foods and choosing the right carbs and fats rather than simply counting them. The Food and Nutrition Conference wraps up at the America Center today. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, even the heavy stuff, you can always rely on the ultimate and reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by GM Certified Used Vehicles. Eastbound 44 between the Chrysler Plant and Merrimack River Bridge is a disabled vehicle reportedly in the center lane, and traffic is backed up at Bowles Avenue. Northbound 55 at Butler and Loughborough, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall with Blanchett Bridge, everything is flowing freely. Northbound 270 between 55 and 44. Look for slow traffic in pockets and slow again from Big Bend all the way to Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit that is closed due to work. They're working on that exit and the ramp. You can all use 11th Street or 14th Street exits to get around that work area. Northbound 170 between Ladue and Del Mar, look for all roadways reopened after overnight construction has been cleared finally. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 split from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue all the way to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way into Laclede's Landing, very heavy volume this morning. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you have slow volume going on there. Eastbound 30 at Mauer Avenue and 270, look for slow traffic. And U.S. Highway 50 east of 47 in Union, look for an injury accident, as well as one Illinois 161 near Scott Air Force Base, there's an accident. Sours traffic has been sponsored by GM Certified Used Vehicles. Let GM Certified take the worry out of buying your next used vehicle. To learn more and find a dealer near you, visit GMCertified.com. GM Certified, no worries.
Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy by this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s this evening. Mostly clear with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, widespread frost early in the morning with a high only around 60. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy skies with a low around 40. And then on Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 40 degrees under cloudy conditions. Lambert Field is holding at 42 with some clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The wake-up call blanket drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers, come on, listen. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And I do want to remind everybody, Marlon Gray is set to be executed tonight at 12:01. Please make your phone calls to the governor. Make your phone calls to everybody. This is a miscarriage of justice. This is an innocent man. You heard him. 3 hours we spent with Marlon Gray. And what's so interesting is every other radio station in town has been following our lead on that. He's been all over town, all over the newspapers. A racist, incompetent, white prosecutor with an agenda and desires beyond his position. He wanted to be the circuit attorney. Two dead white girls, two white male witnesses, and black men beaten in holding cells. There's a reason why there should be no death penalty, aside from the morality of it, but particularly when the decisions are in the hands of an institution whose entire history has been that of racist acts against people of African descent. I will be broadcasting live tonight at midnight, or 11:59 to 1 o'clock from Farmington. You can catch me tonight right here. And if you can't get the radio, of course, we are broadcast live across the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. If you've missed it now, if you want to go hear the interview that we had with Marlon Gray last week, go to whiterosesociety.org. Click on September or October 18th, and you can listen. Listen with your own ears. Make up your own mind. Listen to the facts. These are amazing times that we live in, and there are amazing things that are happening. This is the year, the 10-year anniversary of the O.J. Simpson trial, 10-year anniversary of the Million Man March. There are meaningful things that are happening all across, percolating all across this country. We have to be mindful of the events, and we have to be active in gleaning from the events what we need to get and engaging in the activities that we need to do after we get the information. We need to talk, because I went to the Million Women's March. We need to talk about what the Millions More movement, 10 years after the Million Man March, what it said to women, how it addressed women's issues. And to do that, to facilitate that conversation, I have joining me from Silver Springs, Maryland, a national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper, Nisa Muhammad. Nisa, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm outstanding. So, women, Millions More Movement. The face of the Millions More Movement was different than the Million Man's Movement, right?
Yes, it was. It was a joint face of men, women, youth, children, elders. It was a great face to be seen.
So talk to us about what did the movement say to women of African descent? What did we get from that?
Well, one of the things I think that's important to know about the Millions More Movement is that it demonstrated unparalleled unity among black people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never seen unity that was demonstrated that day. Religious groups, political groups, gangs, community organizations, nationalists, I mean, just unparalleled unity. And step in with the men were the women who were organizing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people saw Dr. Julianne Malvo, who was one of the moderators for the Millions More Movement. She was against the Million Man March 10 years ago.
I remember reading that, yes.
Yes, she was against the Million Man March. And so because of what we're trying to do now, because we want to unify everybody, I mean, she's right in step with the Millions More Movement. We saw Cora Masters Berry. We saw Dr. Barbara Skinner, Dr. Dorothy Height. I mean, just a long list of great black women who found their place in the Millions More Movement. And a lot of these women also had a place in the Million Man March, which is a story that really needs to be told.
And tell us that.
Well, what happened is that in doing this, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan went to black women and said, you know, we want to do this march to strengthen black men, but we cannot do this without black women. And so we need your support. And so Cora Masters Berry, who was then the First Lady of Washington, D.C., organized women in Washington and women around the country to come and render their support to the Million Man March. And it was just a great, great event. Now, the women were not in the crowd, and some women were in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the men were, but Mrs. Berry spoke at the march. Dr. Dorothy Hyde spoke. Maya Angelou wrote a poem for the Million Man March. And so women had involvement, and women raised money to get their men to the march, to get their sons and their uncles and their brothers and their fathers to the march 10 years ago.
So I know that women were involved, and I know that I took a position 10 years ago that I was not going to go simply because it was about the men. And I advocated that everybody go, all men go, and that women support. And that, why do you suppose that there has been that somewhat of a legacy that women were not involved in that, or women tried to keep women out of that?
You know, I think it's just the media hype. The media, the mainstream media, does not want to tell the true story of what has happened in our progress. I mean, they're so quick to tell the story when something negative happens in our community. They're so quick to tell the story, for example, after Hurricane Katrina, the stories we heard of looting, the raping, the murdering. I mean, they're very quick to tell those stories, which we later found out were not true.
And we don't hear the same amplification of the retraction
exactly.
of that story as we heard of the story that it was happening.
Exactly. And even with the whole looting, white people were finding food, black people were looting.
Well, and we had the same type of thing happen here in St. Louis. I think it was last week. It was the last Cardinals game in our stadium. And people, they called it walking off with items from the stadium that were not theirs.
Wow.
So it was called walking off with, not looting.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's a mindset.
And as I always say on my show, I say it's not about the crime. It's about those who stand accused of the crime.
Oh, it's definitely.
You know, so that's what we have happening there. So one of the concerns and one of the observations about the end of the Million Man March 10 years ago is the, okay, now what? Now what happens? Now what's going to be done? Did we get at the end of the Millions More movement? Because I understand the word movement was attached to it, because this is not about an event, it's about a movement. What are some of the specific things that came out of the Millions More movement for women to engage in to continue the forward movement of this act?
Well, one of the things I think that's really interesting is the development of the Katrina Relief Fund, the Development Fund. And that is asking women and men to just give $4 a month, a dollar a week, to help our people that have been affected by Hurricane Katrina. And one of the things that I'm sure a lot of people have noticed is we've seen so many women and children.
Mm-hmm.
So many women and children who are the ones who have been hurt the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And this fund is going to help them get their lives together and help them have the first right to return so that they have a place to go back to. Our people are scattered over 48 states all over. This is not where they want to live. This is where they were taken.
And it's not where they chose to live.
It's not where they chose.
And the monstrosity of it is that they didn't even give these people the courtesy of letting them know where they were going.
You're absolutely right. When the people came to D.C., they got off the plane saying, "Where are we?"
Mm.
And they were like, "Welcome to D.C. Welcome to." They were like, "D.C.? We thought we were going to Dallas."
Mm.
You know, so people are everywhere.
Mm.
And we have to organize our people. And that's because we had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Our people were taken wherever, similar to like slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just cart them up, take them wherever. But because we were not involved and we did not have anything to do with it, that's why that happened. Well, we want to be able to help our people go where they want to go.
So how does that work, Nisa? The dollar a week, how does that work?
Well, people can go to the website, the Millions More Movement website, and they'll be able to see all the information. They mail their money into a post office box here in D.C., and that money is going to be used to help the people who have been affected. It's also going to be used to help students that have been affected. There are about 400 students at Howard University now that have been displaced from their college degree, their college program in New Orleans, but I'm not sure they're Xavier or Dillard, a lot of different schools, But there are about 400 now that are higher university trying to continue their education with nothing.
Mm. And I think that that really is one of the stories that we have to keep telling and make certain that it percolates through the all the other stories that are out there is the impact of the devastation on our historically black colleges.
Exactly. And it has a ripple effect. I have my daughter goes to Spelman. She's a freshman at Spelman. And she was telling me about the girls that are now going to Spelman and the boys that are going to Morehouse. From the hurricane, and she was telling me that, you know, in talking to them, they have lost everything. Like, you know, we say you lose everything, and we don't understand that everything really
means everything.
And we tend to think everything is okay because everything is okay with us.
Mm-hmm.
But to have someone in the middle, in the twinkling of an eye, to lose everything.
It's just hard for people to even wrap their minds around the concept of losing everything. I mean, when you think about it, you lost your city.
Right.
You know, right. I mean, it comes right. down to you right. lost an entire city.
It's not like in a fire, you know,
no.
where you lose your home, when you got your fire insurance, you can replace that. But you have lost your home, your belongings,
your family,
the city, the block, your neighbors,
That's
I mean, your family.
Your community, your history, your connect, you know, and your job, your
yes.
money.
Yes.
Everything.
Totally everything. And still, there are about 1,800 children that are still lost. They have not been found. 800 missing children.
Mm. And those are the stories that, so do we, when we talk about what's going to happen out of this Millions More movement, is that one of the things that is going to happen with in conjunction with this Katrina Relief Fund? Or is there going to be a concerted effort, a consistent effort to keep people apprised of what is going on?
Yeah, that's one of the things I've kind of made it my task and my job to do with the Final Call newspaper is to really focus on the issues that people are, it'll be easy to forget. It's easy to forget about 1,800 children
mm-hmm.
because we don't know them. We've never known them. They're not in our sites. Now, I just recently wrote a story that's going to be coming out soon called Where Are the Children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I do in this story, I try to personalize it. I describe the children. I tell you some of their names, their ages, where they're from, where they were last seen. You know, a little girl with a pixie grin, braids and hairballs. You know, a year-old boy with a hug-me grin. You know, I try to personalize it so people know these are not just numbers. These are not just, you know, these are real children. These are somebody's daughter, son, grandson, niece, nephew that has now been gone. And what I found out from talking to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children is that the children were separated from their parents. It's not like the parents just left their children. These children were separated from their parents when they were taken to hither and yonder.
And I remember one story that came out of Katrina that just gives me chills and makes me want to cry about three mothers and a father and a grandfather all on a rooftop. And a helicopter came down and the helicopter said, "We need the kids first." And they took five little babies. The oldest was like six. And somebody saw this little six-year-old boy walking down the street with a two-year-old, a three-year-old, an infant in his arm. They just took the babies, dropped the babies off, and they never came back for the parents.
Right. It's just sad.
It is. It's heartbreaking.
You know, why would you separate mothers from their children? I mean, and then you think, oh, they'll meet up somewhere. I mean, it just doesn't happen. And when it does happen, it's a very difficult, heart-wrenching process, and it's a very traumatic process.
Think about those babies. Think about the mental state of these children that are God knows where. God knows where these babies are.
With God knows who. Doing God knows what. I mean, and that's one of the questions that I asked. You know, I asked the gentleman, Mr. Armini, I asked, you know, are these children, you know, could they have been subjected to foul play? You know, we read these stories now about child predators, child prostitution, you know, all of he said, you know, we have no evidence that that's happening, but we don't know. You know, they just don't know.
Mm.
And so it's a very scary world out there, and it's very scary when you're very, very young and by yourself.
And for tragic reasons that are born out of indifference.
Exactly.
What do you advise people to do, Nisa, as people want to keep up with, people want to involve themselves in, okay, get the Katrina connection with the Millions More movement. What can people do? What do we get out of the movement for people to do when they come back home?
Well, basically, I'm sure there's a local organizing committee in St. Louis.
Yes, there is.
And I would definitely get involved with that because one of the things about the local organizing committee, they're sensitive to the local issues
mm-hmm.
that are going on in that city, things that can easily be addressed. There may be people from Katrina right there in the St. Louis area that really need help and assistance. You know, I was just really kind of surprised when I saw on the news one day about two white women who went in a van and went down and got a family and brought them back.
Mm.
And I kept thinking, I know there's some black people doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are black people who have that kind of love in their heart for us.
Of course they
are. Who are doing that, so why aren't our stories being told?
There you go.
But we need to know about those stories at the Final Call newspaper.
Okay.
You know, we would love to know about stories from regular people in St. Louis that are doing extraordinary things to help our people. But people can call the Final Call newspaper, send me an email, you know, whatever. And these are stories that we would love to cover.
Very good. Nisa Muhammad, national correspondent for the Final Call newspaper, thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Have a great day.
You too.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to take your calls, your comments, your concerns, your observations, your stuff when we get back. Stay with me.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder of success.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Brentwood. There's an accident in the left shoulder and it's back up, and you can expect small pockets east of Ballas. Northbound 55 between Holly Hills and 270, no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, you've got slow volume going on. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44, it is stop and go. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant, look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road all the way into 79, look for very heavy volume this morning. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge, you've got slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for stop and go traffic. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit all the way into Laclede's Landing, heavy volume. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB, look for slow traffic as well. Youngerman at 94, look for traffic signals not working. Eastbound 30 between Mauer Industrial and 270, you've got slow traffic. And US 50 east of 47 in Union, look for an injury accident there. Sours traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight, ground, or even heavy stuff, you can rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly cloudy in the morning day, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, widespread frost early in the morning with a high around 60. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 41 degrees under cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 43 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tonight at midnight, Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed in connection with the Chain of Rocks murder case. Behind the scenes, efforts are being made to get a stay granted because of so many inconsistencies that surround this case. Liz Brown will be broadcasting live from the Farmington Correctional Center beginning just before midnight tonight and will talk with members of Marlon Gray's family and others who are interceding on his behalf. Will justice truly be served tonight, or will it be another chapter in the book of being poor and black in America? Join Liz Brown tonight just before midnight, broadcasting live from Farmington as we follow the justice for Marlon Gray.
direct from Austria, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna, in their first North American tour in over 15 years. This rare visit salutes the 60th anniversary of General Patton's rescue of the Spanish Riding School and the Lipizzaner breed. For over 400 years, the unique and beautiful dancing white stallions have thrilled audiences around the world. Don't miss this incredible experience, the Spanish Riding School of Vienna.
The Savas Center, November 12th and 13th. Tickets now at the Savas Center box office and all Ticketmaster outlets. To charge by phone, 314-241-1888, presented by Audi.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Tonight at midnight, Marlon Gray.
If you're on Medicare, you need to be here on the wake-up call Tuesday morning. Did you know that with this new Medicare drug discount program, many of the top brand name drugs are costing a lot more than the price the VA has negotiated for veterans? For instance, Lipitor, one of the most utilized drugs by seniors, costs about 60% more with the discount plan than veterans pay for it. There are other gaps in this plan, too. We talked about it before, but it's time to bring you back up to speed on this issue. Be here Tuesday morning at 8 when Dean Mahan of Families USA talks about unfair Medicare on the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Better wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Better mind your mouth. Change your tone. Don't you threaten me, son. You got a lot of gold. We're gonna do things my way.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Josephine, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. I was wondering, would you give me your input on this? It's hard for me to understand. Many times on the radio I've heard the black Americans say they would like to have a city of their own banks, their own bands and everything. What do you think about that? Would that help us or hurt us?
Well, I don't think that it's any different than any other ethnic group in the United States. Jewish people have Jewish banks. Jewish people have Jewish hospitals. Catholic folks have Catholic hospitals. Catholic folks have an entire country, the Vatican. It is no different than any other ethnic group. I think what is interesting to me, Josephine, is how when black people say that, how it lands on white America. How when white people hear black people say, I want the same thing that every other, you know, Chinese people have Chinatown. Italian people have the Hill. You go to the Hill here in the city of St. Louis, you will see Italian flags, not Italian American flags, but Italian flags flying. Every ethnic group in the United States has their own enclaves, has their own desires to have their own entities that represent their interests. But what is interesting and what is unique to America is that when white Americans hear black people saying that they want the same thing that other ethnic groups have, then the question becomes, well, why do black folks want that?
Well, it isn't that so much. Now, let me tell you this way. The N-word. When I was younger, they had all these dumb, stupid jokes out about Polacks. I'm Polish. We never got mad about that. We would laugh at them and come back with one of our own.
Did you know the difference, Josephine?
What is it?
The difference is that Polish people weren't hanging from trees as a result of white men, white women, white children in hoods or not in hoods. Black people, as a result of that odious word, have been denied jobs.
Well, they came out with that one joke about how many Polacks does it take to screw in a light bulb.
But no Polish person died as a result of the use of that offensive word. My point is that we have to first study the history of things so that you can understand it. If you understand the history of the N-word, then you will know the place from which it was born. It was born out of a place that advocated murder, rape, mutilation and the stealing of black people's things and the demonization of an entire race. The history that is attached to that specific word is a history that is unlike any other epithet directed at any other ethnic group in this country.
It's just a joke that they're making our young men go out there and kill each other. And
our young men are, what, huh? Huh? What did we? I didn't understand what you just said.
You know, there were two or three more shootings here in St. Louis, North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of shootings in Jefferson County. There have been a couple of rapes in Jefferson County. There have been all kinds of meth houses in Jefferson County. There have been, in fact, more meth is in the whitest part. There was a meth house in Wildwood. So my question to you, the interesting thing to observe about this country is, it's interesting that there seems to be an interest and an effort to characterize black, all an entire race of people by the bad acts of a handful of them. You don't hear anybody. And let me ask you this. I've never heard this. Let me ask you this as an older white woman. Have you ever heard anybody say, after what, you know, all the meth houses or the cocaine problems within the white community or any other problem within the white community, have you ever heard anybody say, what are white people going to do about their white kids? Like after Columbine, did you hear anybody say, what are white people going to do about their white kids? You ever hear white people say that?
I've heard them.
You heard white people say, what are white people going to do about white kids?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, then
people say, what are we going to do about our black children?
No, I've heard people say
I'm
that.
I'm white.
I understand.
I'm 77 years old.
I understand that.
I've been here a long, long time.
Yes, you have, Josephine. Well, a lot longer than I have. So again, if you have heard a white person say, what are we going to do about white kids after Columbine, you would be the exception because I'm looking at Howard right now. I've never heard, and I've asked white people this question before, they've never, because that's not how you think of crime. You don't think of crime as a white thing. You think of crime as an individualistic thing that happens to a certain group of to individuals out there, not as a commentary on your race, because that's not how you have been taught to think about crime. You don't think of it from a white perspective. You think of it as either a economic issue or an individual issue. Sometimes you might reduce it down to a mafioso type of a thing. Every once in a while you do that. But as a rule, white people and black people and red people are not taught that to think of crime in terms of white people. Hello? We lost her. Interesting. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Please don't forget, tonight, at 1 minute before midnight, I'm going to be watching to see if the state is going to execute an innocent man, if Marlon Gray is going to be executed. You need to meet with us. We're going to be meeting at the College Church right there at Lindell and Grand at 9 o'clock tonight. There will be a vigil, and then there will be we're taking a caravan up to Bonterre. I keep saying Farmington, but it's Bonterre. We're going to be going to Bonterre. So this is what we're going to be doing tonight and this morning. Send your prayers out. Y'all heard Marlon. Y'all heard his words. You heard the explanations. You heard the facts. And it's a shame that people have not acted as they could have. It's a shame that we have state attorney, Jane Nixon, who is supporting this execution of an innocent man in an effort to become governor. So it's a shame. It is an absolute shame. It's a shame that we have a board of probation and parole that didn't advocate for clemency,
when they had an opportunity to do that. It's a shame. It's a shame that we have a governor that is taking up state resources to chase down and stop an abortion of a woman who's pregnant in prison because the state has to pay a lousy $343 for a bus ride to take her to the clinic. She's paying for it her own self. Matt Blunt, the man child, is chasing her down because he cares about innocent life. It's a shame. And I would go even further. It's a sin. Don't get distracted about this. This is about an innocent man being killed by our government. And this is wrong. Our last caller, Josephine, her phone went out. She wants to come back on and finish her thoughts, but let's do that after the break. And I'll be here to take your calls as well at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed in connection with the Chain of Rocks murder case. Behind the scenes, efforts are being made to get a stay granted because of so many inconsistencies that surround this case. Liz Brown will be broadcasting live from the Farmington Correctional Center beginning just before midnight tonight and will talk with members of Marlon Gray's family and others who are interceding on his behalf. Will justice truly be served tonight, or will it be another chapter in the book of being poor and black in America? Join Liz Brown tonight, just before midnight, broadcasting live from Farmington as we follow the justice for Marlon Gray. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Sao Paulo. Forestry experts in Brazil say damage to the Amazon rainforest is much more extensive than previously known. Satellite imaging of the area could only show clearings where swaths of trees have been cut. But selective logging has also been discovered, meaning individual trees have been cut in forest areas. A new science publication shows the damage, including selective logging, is as much as 125% higher than previous indications. Scientists say selective logging thins the shady canopy of the rainforest and causes damage to the undergrowth. It also makes forests drier and more susceptible to fire. And Dateline Baghdad. The British military police officer who was found dead last week had begun to look at the case of two British undercover officers who were broken out of jail by the British military last month. Captain Ken Masters was part of a team that had examined nearly every single allegation of abuse of Iraqi citizens taking place by British troops. Masters was found hanged in his barracks on October 15th. He had started the investigation into the two British operatives who were dressed as Arabs and traveling in an unmarked vehicle that was full of weapons, explosives, and communications gear. They were apprehended at a security checkpoint, but then opened fire on authorities and killed one Iraqi policeman and wounded several others before they were captured. This is your wake-up call Global News Update.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
How many of you have ever heard of the Chinese 863 program? It's something you need to be aware of. In March of 1986, former Chinese Premier Deng Xiaoping approved a plan to come up with new advanced technologies for defensive and offensive warfare. Seven areas of technology were specifically targeted. Some of the advancements that have come out of that research are why China is poised to rule the planet economically.
but supernuclear weapons are also part of the project. We look into this deep, dark hole Tuesday morning at 9 with Lev Navrazov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
And we're back. Hello, caller. You're talking insurance with Dr. Deductible.
Hi, Doc. I'm dealing with multiple...
Multiple personalities?
No, multiple websites. I'm just trying to get car insurance quotes.
You might go to Progressive.com. They'll give you the Progressive direct rate and, in most cases, the rates of their top competitors. All on one website.
Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or go to Progressive.com. Think easier. Think Progressive. Progressive Halcyon Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. If you're on Medicare, you need to be here on the Wake Up Call Tuesday morning. Did you know that with this new Medicare drug discount program, many of the top brand name drugs are costing a lot more than the price the VA has negotiated for veterans? For instance, Lipitor, one of the most utilized drugs by seniors, costs about 60% more with the discount plan than veterans pay for it. There are other gaps in this plan, too. We talked about it before, but it's time to bring you back up to speed on this issue. Be here Tuesday morning at 8 when Dee Mahan of Families USA talks about unfair Medicare on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
For the millions of Africans chained to the slave ships. For the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip. For the millions who jumped overboard. For the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, pick the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Tonight, join me for a vigil outside of the college church right there at Grand and Lindell. We will be there for a vigil on behalf of Marlon Gray. He is supposed to be executed 1 minute after midnight tonight. We need to be part of this. It's hard. It's going to be hard. Going to be very, very, very hard. But we need to participate. This is a miscarriage of justice. And this is what we do. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz. You have the Today Show, reporting that Libby said Cheney told him who the CIA agent was. Now, it don't take a genius to say when Cheney told him that, he most likely told him to put it out, to get it out. So we're back in Watergate again, Liz, and this freak show is coming down all around this corrupt crowd's ears. Thank you very much, Liz.
454-0400 is my phone number. It is, it's just fascinating. I think all of these guys have glass jaws. It's just that nobody's ever gotten close enough to them to hit them. And I think that they will crumble. I think that they will turn on each other. I think that they are scared to death to be in an orange jumpsuit, walking a line, and having their meals handed to them on a metal tray. And they will do anything not to have to live the life of unearned privilege that they live. So, if folks think these soft white men think they're going to go to jail, oh baby, they will sing like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and I mean all the high notes. They will hit them all. Oh yeah, they are not going to do no stinking hard time for nobody. So if they're scared, as they should be, and they should be frightened out of their minds. You have a prosecutor that they can't find any dirt on. This is a prosecutor who is not from Chicago, but serves as a U.S. attorney in Chicago. This is a prosecutor that has put mafiosos behind bars. This is a prosecutor, Fitzgerald is, a prosecutor who moved to Chicago from New York, and nobody knows where he lives in Chicago because he's concerned about the mafiosa getting to his family. This is a prosecutor that is fearless. You know what this prosecutor hates more than anything in the whole world? Honestly hates? People lying to him. Tell me anything, but don't lie to me. Tell me anything, but don't lie to me. So, you know, this is a guilty person's worst nightmare. This is a guilty, unearned privilege, soft, little glass-jawed white guy. That's your worst nightmare. An honest prosecutor, good God. Better, everybody, when you walk by the White House, you better look up. Watch for the bodies coming out the window. Huh. What did Joe report yesterday? What are they calling they're calling them dead men walking. Dead men walking. Larry, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. How you doing?
I'm outstanding.
Okay, about that case that you're talking about, the prosecutor, but check this out. I'm just looking at CNN. Did you know that Larry information was supplied to him by Dick Cheney and not the reporters that he was claiming that he got that information from?
Apparently,
it's perjury right there.
Yep, you just turned your radio. Yeah, we've been talking about that.
Yes,
been talking. Well, it's not just perjury. It's not just obstruction of justice. These are crimes that are reaching the highest levels of government.
It's
delicious, it's delightful, it's lovely. It's all of those things. It is fascinating to sit back and to watch, and I told you so, roll out in front of you. You know?
And I wish he could do something about Halliburton, man. We have us a circus going.
Well, you know, one step at a time, Larry. I mean, once you take out the foundation, the rest of the stuff topples, doesn't it? You know, so don't be tripping on Halliburton. Stay with the foundation. Once you get the foundation, the rest of it will fall.
Yes.
All right.
All right, Lynn.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about and no time to do it in this hour. That's all right. I'll get to you all next hour. Get to you next hour. We have so much more to talk about. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give.
it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say the progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. About a third of the population of the state of Florida is waking up without power in the wake of Wilma. The hurricane pounded the state's southwest coast. ABC's Jeffrey Kaufman has the latest from Miami.
Karen, clearly the first priority has to be to get the power back on, and it is an enormous job. This is the largest outage in the history of Florida Power and Light. 6 million people without power. Now, some areas did get electricity overnight, and we heard the utility workers working and trying to get transformers on in our area here. But it's going to take some weeks, they tell us, to get the entire state back online. Karen?
In another section of the nation, a nor'easter is causing problems. ABC's Nancy Weiner is weathering the storm in Hull, Massachusetts.
This is an area that has already been so hard hit by flooding over the past month, and officials say it will only take about an inch or two of rain for the areas to re-flood. Forecasters say there will be anywhere from an inch to 5 inches of rain in New England today, with snow in the higher elevation.
Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy says the nation has lost a courageous woman and a true American hero with the death of Rosa Parks. Parks refused to give up her seat on an Alabama bus, a simple act of civil disobedience that sparked the civil rights movement. Like another civil rights legend, Parks said she, too, had a dream.
This is one of my dreams, that we will have a world of peace, prosperity, justice, and freedom for everybody, regardless of race, creed, or color, or national origin.
Parks was 92. New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg put his money where his gratitude was. When a New York City cab driver returned the wallet he left in his cab, he gave the driver one of the $100 bills that was in it. Lautenberg says he was so engrossed in a conversation the two were having about the Chicago White Sox, he didn't notice it when his wallet fell on the floor of the cab. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'll be at Home Depot's end-of-season savings event? Well, number three is 30% off. You got to be kidding me. Come on. Number two is they're not kidding me. You get 30% off, you know. And the number one reason, it's that whole 30% off thing again.
Hurry in now to the Home Depot and get 30% or more off all yellow tag merchandise throughout the store. It's the end-of-season savings event only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are, all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477.
Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
This little girl was locked and loaded as she headed into the bear hunting season in Maryland. ABC's Louise Schiavone has her story.
Today's the day the teddy bears have their pick.
Not exactly a Winnie the Pooh sort of story. 8-year-old Sierra Stiles bagged the first black bear of Maryland's 6-day bear hunting season. She fired 2 rifle shots, making fast work of a 211-pound adult male bear in western Maryland. Little Sierra earned her hunter's license by showing a firearms proficiency and scoring 98% on her state hunter safety test. Louise Schiavone, ABC News.
William Shatner is a big star, so it was a surprise to him when a little thing like a kidney stone took him down last week. Shatner was rushed by ambulance to a hospital straight from the set of Boston Legal. He told Regis and Kelly the pain was unbelievable, and passing it was worse, but he's all better now. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Panther Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, an investigation continues into the fatal shooting of two men by a Lincoln County Sheriff's deputy. Lieutenant Rick Harrell, a spokesperson for the department, says the shooting happened after a group of people in a pickup truck failed to stop when the officer tried to pull them over on a routine stop late Sunday evening. He says the officer fired his weapon in fear for his life because the truck was either backing up or rolling backwards. 22-year-old Tyler Teasley and 23-year-old Michael Brown were killed. Nobody else was injured. The deputy, a 3-year veteran of the department, is on paid administrative leave. Supporters of a condemned inmate and opponents of capital punishment are asking Governor Matt Blunt to grant clemency to the man scheduled for execution just after midnight. Marlon Gray is scheduled to die for his role in the 1991 murders of Julie and Robin Carey at the Old Chain of Rocks Bridge, but several Missouri groups believe Gray was wrongfully convicted. Blunt says he and his staff are researching this case very carefully.
Thus far, I've not seen anything that indicates to me that the trial court and jury made a wrong decision. Obviously, in all cases, the Board of Probation and Parole makes a recommendation to me and does some fact-finding for me, and we'll await that recommendation.
A letter from Amnesty International claims that the state conceded that Gray was not present at the time the murders took place. The group also believes that Gray was physically and verbally abused to get a rape confession out of him. On Friday, Gray's lawyers filed motions with the 8th U.S. Court of Appeals requesting a stay of the execution and the opportunity to file another appeal. Both motions were turned down yesterday. He has previously unsuccessfully appealed his case as high as the U.S. Supreme Court. Gray yesterday had a hearing with the State Board of Probation and Parole, but the board's recommendation isn't being made public at this time. This is Lead Safe Kids in Homes Week in the city of St. Louis. Activities this week will focus on lead poisoning prevention and education, as well as remediation efforts like Grace Hill's program to rid expectant mothers' homes of lead contamination. Lead Safe St. Louis Director Janine Aragi says lead poisoning levels among city children have dropped from 1 in 4 children in 1999 to 1 in 10 children in 2004. St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay says he hopes to end childhood lead poisoning in the city by the year 2010. Finally this hour, the Blues begin a 3-game road trip tonight in Phoenix against the Coyotes. The Blues are 2-5-1 to begin the season, and their 5 points are second fewest in the Western Conference. The Coyotes are 3-6-1, and they feature a pair of former Blues in goaltender Curtis Joseph and head coach Wayne Gretzky. The note is winless in 2 road games so far this season. The puck drops at 9 o'clock. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by TomTom. With a TomTom, you just tap on the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going. Grab it and go. TomTom is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Visit TomTom.com and you're on your way. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at the Sowers traffic and weather. Sowers traffic is sponsored by Gold's Gym. Westbound 270 at New Florissant Road, there's an accident report, or New Halls Ferry, there's an accident in the left lane. Traffic is slow near Bell Fountain all the way to New Florissant. Northbound 55 between Bayless and Potomac, no problems to report. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers to Blanchette Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, that is closed due to construction work. You can use 11th or 14th Street to get around. Eastbound 70 from TR Eaves 79. Look for very heavy volume going on. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 270 from Teslan Ferry to 44 to stop-and-go. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway all the way into McKelvey. Look for very heavy volume going on there. Westbound 40 at Hampton and Hanley. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 55-70 split from 203 on the Illinois side all the way to the PSB. It is stop and go. Westbound 64 between Bowell Avenue and the 55-70 split. It is slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Cleeds Landing. Look for very heavy volume. Northbound Route 3 from Monsanto onto the PSB. That ramp is slow this hour. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Gold's Gym. Gold's Gym, the leader in fitness for 40 years, is celebrating with no dues until 2006. But hurry, this offer ends on October the 27th. Call 1-800-99-GOLDS or visit goldsgym.com today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy by early this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Mostly clear this evening with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, widespread frost early in the morning with a high around 60. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 42 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 44 under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Wake-Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake-Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake-Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and run back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother, how can I listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
They struggle against the common enemy, the man. Charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile,
Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And if you want to listen to the show, if you missed an hour, you can go to whiterosesociety.org where we are archived daily. And you can get any hour right there. So go on over to whiterosesociety.org and check out the show. LizBrown.com is the website. Revolution@LizBrown.com is the email. And we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. It's interesting. We've been talking about the war. Today we've been talking about Iraq. We've been talking about the new body count engaged in now by the Pentagon. We need to talk about also what happens when our people get home. What happens to the veterans when they get here, and what happens to those of us that aren't veterans when we get here? I think that it is not an understatement to say that the biggest, if not the biggest, it's one of the biggest crises that has ever faced this nation. This is the crisis of health care. People can't buy houses because of it, or people lose their houses because of the lack of it. People cannot keep their jobs because of health care, or they lose their jobs and get jobs with no health care. The health care crisis is, I dare say, the biggest crisis that is facing this country. And we want to bring you another facet of how the health care crisis is impacting on your life. I have joining me this morning Dee Mahan, the Deputy Director of Health Policies for Families USA, joining us from Washington, D.C. Dee, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Good.
Is it fair to say that we are in a healthcare crisis in this country?
Oh, absolutely. Healthcare is a huge burden on individuals, and we have millions in this country who don't have any health insurance and can't afford the healthcare they need. And it's a burden on the employers who are still providing health care because it's costing them a lot as well. It's a big crisis.
So I love doing on my show kind of a compare and contrast type of a thing. Can we talk about medicine that's prescribed through Medicare and medicine that is prescribed through the Veterans Aid Program? It doesn't seem to me, since they're both government programs, that there would be any difference in the medicine and the cost of it. Is there a difference?
Yeah, there is a big difference. And my organization, Families USA, just recently did a report called Getting the Best Price, where we looked at a program that Medicare just started last year. It's a temporary program that'll be ending this year when they have, or 2006 when they start their drug benefit. But looking at what seniors, those in Medicare, were being charged for drugs through that temporary discount card program, and compare that to what the VA pays for prescription drugs. And the Veterans Administration goes out and negotiates for low drug prices on behalf of veterans and others that their system covers. And they do an excellent job. They get really great prices. Yet in Medicare, the law that governs the new drug benefit forbids the government from going out and doing the same kind of negotiating and get the same kind of good prices. So in the Medicare program, seniors are going to be paying probably a lot more than veterans and then the Veteran Administration pays for exactly the same drugs.
And when we do an analysis of how this Medicare program came to be, was there a whole lot of thought and time that went into this, or was this more of a political thing than a thing that was supposed to really deal with the medical needs and issues of people on Medicare?
Well, what happened, I mean, it's been something that had been bounced around for years and years and years, so you would think that a lot of thought and time had gone into it. But in the final analysis, there was a number provided in the budget, and the law had to be structured to kind of fit within that number, although later memos, et cetera, came to light saying that you know, it was known all along, actuaries knew, HHS knew that the benefit was going to cost more. But It was kind of at the last minute. There was a lot of what you would call horse trading and a lot of deals made, and the vote was kept open longer than it should have been to get this law passed. And you end up with something that is very, very complicated, extraordinarily convoluted, and not like drug coverage that you see in other government programs or in the private sector, really. There are big gaps in coverage. And
so we have something that's in place that not only is different, but there aren't any comparisons to be made. And we're talking about medicine and medical treatment for seniors that are used to certain things a certain way.
Right, seniors who are used to certain things a certain way, and I'm trying to figure out the program and all of the options available. And like here in the Washington, D.C. area, there are 64 plans seniors can choose from to get their drug benefit. Now, how are you going to figure out what's best for you out of 64 options?
And
I mean, you got to put together a spreadsheet and start now if you want to get it done within the next 2 years, you know?
And I heard somewhere, I think it was reported somewhere, that even the instructions that the seniors have been given are not accurate, that they're being directed to some programs where they're going to have to pay when it says in the packet that they've gotten that they don't have to pay. Is that true?
Well, some of the directions are inaccurate now. The website, there's a website that seniors are being directed to get information.
Yeah,
and that's,
but Dee,
that's
wait,
not the best way to go.
Dee, what are the statistics on the number of seniors that have access or even have interest in getting to the Internet?
Well, that's very low. That's why it's not a good way to go. The program, once you get to it, is really complicated, which is going to turn the few people who have Internet access or go to the Internet to try to find this are going to get there and say, what's this about? It's just really confusing. And it's not a real good way to try to reach out to seniors because the Internet is not something that a lot of seniors have easy access to. Lower-income seniors just don't have access to it at all, and it's just not the best way to go. There's an 800 number, but the people on the 800 number are using the Internet program to get their information as well. So to the extent there are mistakes, glitches, gaps in that program, they can't help callers out. And it's a mess right now.
So 67 programs that they have to navigate through. And how do they make a decision about which program they're going to select?
Well, it's a really complicated process because you have to look at what the monthly costs are going to be. And all of the programs are different. They're all going to pay for different drugs. They can set a list of the drugs that they cover. So you have to make sure they're going to pay for your drug. Then you have to look at what rate they're going to pay for your drug. A plan can say, gee, we're going to pay for this drug at $5 a prescription, or when you pick up this drug, you're going to have to pay 25% of the price of the drug. It's all over the place. And
how do you – well, okay. All right. How,
yeah.
You know, how do you make a decision on what is – best for you? What are the factors? I mean, because I'm assuming that, okay, if I pay $5 for this prescription, I'm going to have to pay less on another end of somehow. And if I pay if I choose to pay $25 for the same prescription, I'm going to have something else. What are the factors that you look at to make the best decision for yourself?
Well, it is really complicated. You need to look at what the monthly cost is, because every plan is going to be charging a certain amount per month. So each one of those
60-something plans will be charging a different price a month.
Yeah, I mean, it ranges anywhere from $4.95 to over $60 a month.
Why would anybody choose the $60 a month plan?
I don't know. One would think the plan might offer coverage, and there's what's called a coverage gap. And in the coverage gap, the plan stops paying for anything. Once your drug costs reach a certain amount, you don't get any more help until you've paid $3,600 of your own money on drugs.
Huh? Is that different than what Medicare used to do?
Well, Medicare didn't used to pay for these drugs at all. Medicare didn't have any prescription drug benefit for outpatient drugs. But it is different than what, you know, employer-sponsored plans do. It's different from what Medicaid has been doing. It's a different kind of insurance in that, you know, as your costs start to go up, the help you get stops and doesn't pick up until you've paid an awful lot of money of your own for prescription drugs. And then you get some what's called catastrophic coverage, but that only lasts till the end of the year. And then you start all over again. And that's a very confusing feature of the bill that is a real disappointment for groups like ours who advocate for health care coverage, because it's going to leave a lot of people with really high drug cost.
Now, when are people supposed to make this decision about choosing one of these 60-something plans?
Well, they can start signing up on November 15th, and that's not very far away. They have until May 15th of 2006 to sign up before they start getting late enrollment penalties. If they don't make a decision by May 15th, 2006, then you're going to get a penalty every month. The plans are going to cost you more every month that you delay signing up. So you've really got between November 15th until May 15th, 2006. But if you have high drug costs, you might want to try to get in someplace as soon as you possibly can to get some, you know, some help, but you do need to make a decision rather carefully.
Well, if you make a mistake, if you choose the wrong program, one that you can't afford, one that you thought that they were going to be paying the cost on, you didn't read any of the dozens of pages that came with these different programs, what do you do? How do you get out of the wrong program?
You got to wait till the next year, unless certain groups who are eligible for low-income help can change plans at any time. But for most people, you're going to have to wait until the next year.
What is low income according to these programs?
Well, there are five different levels of low income help. So low income is 150% of the poverty level. Now, right now, 150% of the poverty level for an individual would be an annual income of $14,300 a year.
Okay.
And if your income is that or less, you get added help. The level of added help that you get is going to depend, again, on your income. Some groups are going to get pretty substantial added help. At the higher end of that, the added help is less generous.
So how is it that people are going to be able to navigate through this? Where can people get help to figure this out?
Well, one place that they can go is every state's got state health insurance programs and state health insurance program counselors. And people can go to those groups. They can contact their state health department, their Medicaid program or Social Security, and they'll be able to direct you to some of those programs. And that's one place that they can go to get some help and some individual counseling. Other than that, you know, we suggest that people get together with their friends, get family members to help them. If you've got a family member who maybe is good working with computers and has the time to sit down and help you walk through all this, that's not a bad way to start taking a look at what's available. One thing that we're real concerned about, these plans are allowed to do telemarketing. And we just want people to be...
Oh, Jesus, they're allowed to market people?
They're allowed to market people, and they're allowed to do it over the telephone. And we're just cautioning seniors to not give out any personal information. Don't give out social security numbers or anything like that on the phone. If you get a call from a plan and you're interested and you want to talk to them, get their number and call them back. Get their 800 number and call them back. Because you want to make sure that you don't have someone who's trying to get your personal information and, you know, scam you one way or another, because that kind of thing happens all the time.
Well, I'm not even, you know, I wasn't even thinking on the scam component of it. I'm just thinking of it from the marketing component of one of these, one of the legitimate 60-something companies. They could talk seniors into signing up for a program that there's a one that's cheaper for these seniors.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's my concern.
Well, we have that concern as well as the scam concern. We have a lot of concerns about people making decisions too fast and making the wrong decision, which is why we're saying try to get some help from somebody, a family member, a friend. You know, ask your pharmacist where they would suggest that you call to get some help. A lot of pharmacies here in the D.C. area have big signs up and say, you know, we're here to help you. And the pharmacist can maybe say, you know, here's the number for your state health insurance program counselor. That's a great resource. You know, maybe call your doctor's office and say, where should I look for help to make a good decision here? Because it's going to be a tough process going through all of this information and trying to figure it out.
How many seniors are we talking about?
We are talking about over 40 million people who are in Medicare. Now, a number of those people get retiree coverage through their former employer, and they might not want to sign up for the plan because their employer coverage might be better. They'll get a notice. They'll get a letter from their employer that'll tell them your coverage is better than Medicare or not. And a number of people who were on Medicare and Medicaid, who used to get their drugs covered through the Medicaid program, are now going to have to get their drugs through Medicare, and that's going to be a change for them.
Now, what happens if the seniors in these programs don't pay? Okay, they have a bill, they don't pay.
If they don't pay the premiums, then they get taken off of the roll. They're no longer enrolled in one of these plans.
Okay. And is there any way that a senior or a person on Medicare could get caught up in the system and end up in a way fiscally harmed as a result of being this? Can you accrue any kind of debt as a result of being part of this plan?
Well, you've got your plan premiums that you have to pay, and certainly if you don't pay those and you get taken off the roll, off of the rolls, and that's not going to be good in terms of your, you know, financial records and history. If you have been in Medicaid, you may end up having to pay more, and these are the poorest of the low-income seniors, the people who have the lowest incomes of all. They may end up having to pay more per month than they had to in the Medicaid program. A lot of Medicaid programs let them get their drugs without having to pay anything or paying, you know, just 25, 75 cents or a dollar, and they can be charged up to $3 per prescription on this program. And that may not sound like much, but when your income is extremely low and, you know, we're talking about incomes that are less than $10,000 a year, $3 per prescription can really add up when you have other bills, too.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Dee Mahan, the Deputy Director of Health Policy for Families USA. We're talking about the challenges that at least 40 million Americans are going to have to face as they attempt to navigate through this a new Medicare plan for prescription drugs. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We'll be back. I've got to keep on pushing. I can't stop now. I move up. I need a high love. Some way, somehow. Oh, Lord. But I've got my strength in me. Don't make sense. I've got to keep on pushing.
Good morning, St. Louis. 33 minutes after the hour, 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. Westbound 270 at Newhalls Ferry. There's an accident. Left lane is blocked and jams all the way to 367. Northbound 270 between Gravois and 44. There's a medical emergency as a sick case is on the shoulder. Traffic is slow from Sappington to 44. Northbound 55 between 44 and Weber Road. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Bowles all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. No problems there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the PSB. You've got slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing has returned back to normal. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic there. And eastbound 5570 from 4th Street to the Kingbridge split. Look for that left lane to be closed. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by FedEx Kinko's. For overnight ground or even heavy stuff, you can rely on the ultimate in reliable shipping. Relax, it's FedEx. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Today, mostly cloudy. This morning, becoming partly cloudy by the early this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Mostly clear this evening with a low around the upper 30s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny. Widespread frost early in the morning. The high should reach around 60. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies will continue with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under partly cloudy skies, we have 43 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 46 and partly cloudy skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. So up next, we'll take another look at your news, your traffic, and your weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
How many of you have ever heard of the Chinese 863 program? It's something you need to be aware of. In March of 1986, former Chinese Premier Deng Xiaoping approved a plan to come up with new advanced technologies for defensive and offensive warfare. Seven areas of technology were specifically targeted. Some of the advancements that have come out of that research are why China is poised to rule the planet economically. But supernuclear weapons are also part of the project. We look into this deep, dark hole Tuesday morning at 9 with Lev Nabrazov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call. Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
Cut your gas costs in half. Team up to share the ride to work in a carpool or vanpool. Thousands of St. Louis area commuters have discovered how ride sharing with RideBinders can combat the sting of rising gas prices, and you can too. RideBinders offers an exclusive computerized ride matching service that matches commuters throughout the region who share similar workday commutes so they can contact one another to share the ride in a carpool or vanpool. The ride matching service is provided by RideFinders free of charge and is available online at ridefinders.org or toll-free at 800-VIP-RIDE. The higher gas prices get, the more savings you'll see. Add more passengers to your carpool and save even more. Call RideFinders today at 800-VIP-RIDE and ease the strain that record gas prices are putting on your wallet. That's 800-VIP-RIDE.
Tonight at midnight, Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed in connection with the Chain of Rocks murder case. Behind the scenes, efforts are being made to get a stay granted because of so many inconsistencies that surround this case. Liz Brown will be broadcasting live from the Farmington Correctional Center beginning just before midnight tonight and will talk with members of Marlon Gray's family and others who are interceding on his behalf. Will justice truly be served tonight, or will it be another chapter in the book of being poor and black in America? Join Liz Brown tonight just before midnight, broadcasting live from Farmington as we follow the justice for Marlon Gray. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit longer.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Dee Mahan, the Deputy Director of Health Policies for Families USA, and we're talking about why does the same medicine cost more when it's prescribed through Medicare than it is when it's prescribed through a Veterans Aid program? Why is there a gap with this new Medicare drug benefit plan? We're talking about that, how it affects all of us. Dee, welcome back.
Thank you.
Can we talk about some of these gaps? Because it's my understanding that your organization is saying that there are basically three different types of gaps that people are going to have to face, or people are going to have, or people will experience as a result of this new Medicare drug so-called benefit.
Well, there's first the price difference that you had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The new law doesn't let the government negotiate for lower drug prices. It's leaving it up to all of these different programs that are out there providing the benefit. And as I said, in Washington, D.C., that's going to be over 60 different insurance plans available to people. And you know, clearly when you've got that many groups negotiating for prices, you don't get as much leverage as you would if the government were allowed to go out and negotiate on behalf of all people in Medicare, which is over 40 million. You'd get a better price.
So, and then, okay, we have that, the gap in the price. How about the drug coverage gap?
There is a gap in drug coverage as well for most people in Medicare. If you get low-income help, it's different. If you get low-income help, you don't end up with this gap. But most people in Medicare who are not going to get added low-income help, once their drug costs for a year equal $2,250, and that's less than most seniors in Medicare are paying for their prescription drugs right now. Once your costs reach that amount, then these health plans don't help you anymore. You're on your own paying 100% of your drug cost for the rest of the year unless you qualify for catastrophic coverage, and that doesn't happen until you have paid $3,600 of your own money on just prescription drugs.
Now, how does that work? You're paying a portion of the cost of these drugs, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So your portion has to add up to $3,000, but they stop paying for you or giving you anything off once it reaches $2,000 and something.
Well, once the cost of your drugs, that includes what the plans helped you pay for and what you've paid,
Lord.
Once that reaches $2,250, then coverage stops. That's not just what you've paid, but that's what you've paid plus what the drugs have been costing this health plan that you've joined.
And the number that the drug that is used to calculate the cost of your drug that gets you up to the $2,250 amount, is that the veterans' benefits cost of the medicine?
No, that's going to be the price that your plans negotiated for prescription drugs. So that's going to be a different price. If you take, say, for example, you take Lipitor, which is a very frequently prescribed drug for cholesterol. In one plan, the cost of Lipitor might be $700 a year, in another plan $500 a year, in another plan $1,000 a year. It depends on how good a job that plan's done negotiating. And it's that cost that's going to be the basis for calculating when the coverage gap starts and when you're eligible for catastrophic coverage and all of that.
And how do you know to look for that in the plan as you're making, as you're evaluating whether or not you're going to choose this plan? Does it say in there that you're in somewhere in the instructions, look for the cost of your medicine in this plan? Or are people going to do what they normally do, look for the cost, is how much the plan is going to pay for the medicine?
Well, what we're concerned that people aren't going to look at all the variables they need to look at because there are just too many and it's too confusing. And it's more than what you usually have to go out and look at when you're making a purchase decision on an insurance product. We're concerned that people might say, gee, we're just going to go with the plan that's the cheapest, that has the cheapest monthly cost, and that not be the best plan for them. There should be instructions in Medicare's handbook, but, you know, to try to get all of this down and remember it and look at all of these different components is very, very confusing.
And this $2,250 cap, is that across the board? Because you told us there were about 60-something plans in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Is that $2,250 cap the same in every plan?
It's not. So, well, the cap is, but some plans are going to be providing some kind of coverage for generic drugs during the point in time when other plans might not be covering anything at all. It's really all across the board. It's a situation where you've got 60 plans and really very few of them look alike.
Let me get to a caller or two here. Mrs. Warfield, good morning. Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you.
Are you on a speakerphone, please? Get on a Rick Hardline phone, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Yes, please ask your question.
The question I had is in reference to this new policy that they're trying to put on us. I tell you, I don't know what to do with it because what's happening in my case is I've received a number of cards from different companies. No information, but sign this card real quick and send it right back. And they don't tell you anything about their company, give you no information whatsoever. How do you handle that?
Well, don't sign up for anything until you've got the information.
No, I don't do that.
Well, that's a good thing.
Did you know that? Hold on.
How can you decide we have no information?
Mrs.
You know?
Warfield, could you hold on for 1 second? Dee, did you know about this? Were you aware that there? You told us about the phone calls and the telemarketing that the companies are going to engage in. Did you know that they're sending people out cards too?
I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I imagine they're going to be sending out all sorts of glossy materials and brochures and all kind of stuff that's going to be hitting people's doors and mailboxes, and it's just going to be a lot of mail to sort through. And what I would suggest is going back to what I talked about earlier, getting together with a family member, if you've got a family member who might be able to help you,
mm-hmm.
Contacting your state health insurance program counselor, and you can get that number through the state health insurance office, through the Social Security Administration. You can call Medicare, 1-800-MEDICARE. They'll be able to give you that number, and they have counselors on the phone as well. And that's a place to also get some information.
Mm-hmm.
And then also get together with friends of yours, and, you know, you could try to make it at least a little bit social as well as a way that you can help each other getting together and trying to sort through all this information.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's another problem because a lot of the people that I know are calling me. I say, hey, I don't even know what's going on.
Well, see there, you're the information.
But then there's another thing that they have been doing. They'll send this mail and say that this is some kind of contest, and you can read through the contest, and you can't understand that. But they say sign this card and send it back right away.
That has to do with your Medicare?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing with it. But I just say, well, wait a minute. What is going on here?
All right, and we've got to take a break.
Okay.
Mrs. Warfield, thank you so much for your call and comment.
Okay.
We will be back with Dee Mahan, Deputy Director of Health Policy for Families USA. We'll get back to some of your calls, some of your questions, some of your concerns as we continue to discuss this issue. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with us.
You better listen, my brother.
Coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table. Big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Barcelona. A judge in Spain is ordering further tests to find out what happened to the wife of the president of Nigeria. Stella Obasanjo was rushed to a hospital Sunday after undergoing an operation to help her lose weight. She died a short time later from apparent complications from that surgery. The investigation was requested to determine if medical malpractice is involved. Nigerian newspapers say Mrs. Obasanjo was in good health when she traveled to the Costa del Sol resort to undergo the procedure. She had received numerous human rights awards after working for the release of her husband, who was thrown in jail in the mid-90s after being accused of plotting a coup there. And Dateline New York. Time magazine is reporting this week that super lobbyist Jack Abramoff, who's now indicted for his part in a Florida casino acquisition scheme, used Ralph Reed, former head of the Christian Coalition, as his ticket to get access inside the Bush administration. Emails between the two men show that Reed told Abramoff he had made calls to FEMA on his behalf when he was trying to set up a scheme to rent cruise ships to that agency that were to be used to house rescue workers following the attack on the World Trade Center in 2001. Several months later, he turned to Reed again to get help from Karl Rove. That time, he wanted $16 million released so his Choctaw Indian clients could build a jail in Mississippi. And in another episode, Abramoff asked Reed to intercede to prevent the appointment of an official in the Interior Department because he felt that person would not rule favorably on matters pertaining to his clients in the Northern Mariana Islands. That official did not get the appointment. The friendship between the two men goes back to the early 80s when Abramoff was national chairman of the College Republicans and Reed was executive director. Reed is planning to run for Lieutenant Governor of Georgia next year. This is your wake-up call global news update.
At Halloween, it's all about the scare, the fright, the horror. For the most scare anywhere, come to Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun every weekend from September 24th through October 30th. We have five times the, and five times more. And you still get all of it. Hollow Weekends has five extreme haunts. Camp Gonna Get You With Your Hatchet. Carnival of Carnivorous Clowns. The Lore of the Vampire. The Fright Zone. And the New Dominion of Doom. Plus, all our coasters for one low price. So you can scare the
Jesus
out of yourself over and over again. One ticket, unlimited thrills. Hollow Weekends at Worlds of Fun. We've got the haunt that you want. Sponsored by Kansas City area Toyota dealers. Visit worldsoffun.com to book your reservation at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort.
The Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is set for Friday, November 18th. Volunteers are needed to man the two collection sites at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue, and the lobby of the Congress and Senate Building, the home of WGNU, at 265 Union. Blankets to be accepted that morning starting at 6 o'clock. The actual broadcast from Carver House starts at 7. If you can help us help those in need, call the WGNU business office this morning at 454-6660 or email your contact information to revolution@lizbrown.com. All volunteers receive a free second annual blanket drive t-shirt as a thank you. How many of you have ever heard of the Chinese 863 program? It's something you need to be aware of. In March of 1986, former Chinese Premier Deng Xiaoping approved a plan to come up with new advanced technologies for defensive and offensive warfare. Seven areas of technology were specifically targeted. Some of the advancements that have come out of that research are why China is poised to rule the planet economically. But super nuclear weapons are also part of the project. We look into this deep, dark hole Tuesday morning at 9 with Lev Navrazov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com, here on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Around the world and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Fat man in front of me.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Dee Mahan, the Deputy Director of Health Policies for Families USA, joining us from Washington, D.C. Dee, we were talking about some of the gaps in this Medicare benefits program. There's also a gap with regard to people of African descent and also people that live in rural America.
There is availability of a health plan for everybody in every area, but whether you're going to be able to get to the pharmacy that you want to use really remains a question, and that's something that we're trying to get a handle on, how much pharmacy coverage people have in rural areas, how much pharmacy coverage people have in the inner city, whether there are preferred pharmacies, and those are pharmacies that these plans designate as having the best price available to people, regardless of where they live. And that's something that we are trying to get a handle on, but we just don't have the information yet.
Can you give us a difference in price between, just as a single example of the difference in price between what a particular drug like Lipitor would cost if you were in the VA and what it would cost under this new program?
Well, Lipitor, the VA, this is what it costs a year, and this is the best price for the VA, is $747. In the Medicare program that's going to be coming up in 2006, we don't have the price numbers for anything yet. That's something that Medicare says they're going to have up on their website, but we just don't know when that information is going to be available. Right now, the best we can do is look at what the Medicare discount cards were doing, and that's a temporary program that's going to end once this drug benefit starts. But it's a good idea of, you know, the kind of prices we might be able to see. So if we compare the VA price of $747, the lowest price for any Medicare discount card was over $1,000 a year. For some drugs, the price difference is even more stark. Zocor, and this is a drug that is a preferred drug. The VA has it on their formulary. It's the drug they try to get people to take for lowering cholesterol, doing the same kind of thing as Lipitor, $250 a year. In the Medicare discount card, almost $1,000 a year for the very same drug.
Let me get to some of our callers here. Charles, you have a question for our guest, Dee Mahan. Charles?
Hello?
Yes, you have a question for our guest?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Matt Brown and to your guest. How are you both doing this morning?
Very
well, thank you.
We only have a few minutes here. We only have a few minutes here. Could you ask your question, please?
Yes. Medicare was out here to my building where I live. And the lady, I told her about my income, and she told me the best to file for FLMB. FLMB pays only your Medicare Part B premium, currently $78.20 per month.
Right, and if you are eligible for that kind of help with your Medicare premium, then you're also going to be eligible for added low-income help with the drug benefit as well. So you can get some additional help for your drug cost and your drug plan premiums.
And again, who can he talk to about this?
He can talk to the state Medicaid agency. He can talk to Social Security. He can also call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have the lady's name. I'll give her a call, but I was listening to you this morning. I'm a caller.
Very good.
See if I can get some more information on it.
Thank you, James. And let's get to, Charles, let's get to James. James, I'm sorry. Good morning. James?
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Fine.
Liz, one of the things that I went to the Medicare orientation for UnitedHealthcare for Dr. Kincaid's office and is that was not mentioned is that each doctor will be responsible for determining what the formulary for each one of those plans are. So the drugs that the representative was talking about, may or may not be even available for a particular plan. So it's going to be not only difficult for the people, the 41 million people on Medicaid, but also for the doctors that will have to sort through this maze of insanity that's going on with the physicians.
Thank you for that, James. And Dee, that's something that we didn't talk about. The nightmare that it's going to be for the doctors.
Yeah, it is going to be very difficult for doctors because, as the caller just said, each of these plans is going to be covering different drugs. So if someone signs up for a plan, and the best you can do is sign up for a plan that covers the drugs you take right now. If you need something different down the line, that plan may or may not cover it, and there's no way you can determine what the future is going
to
be.
And Dee, that has to be the last word. Where can people get to your website to get more information?
www.familiesusa, that's all one word, familiesusa.org.
Dee, thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care.
All right,
listen,
thanks.
You're welcome. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back after the news. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound. That's below. That's a below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Wicked weather is causing problems from Florida to Maine as storm systems wreak havoc on people, property, and power. The new problem in the pipeline is a nor'easter. The storm system is now bringing heavy rain to an already saturated area and could cause extensive flooding. Wind gusts are up to 65 miles an hour. Meanwhile, 6 million people are without electricity in Florida the day after Hurricane Wilma. Karen Vesepo at Florida Power and Light says the good news is...
We are hoping that we will be able to get most of the customers back on within the next week.
But the bad news is, for some, it'll be weeks before they have power back. Rosa Parks is being remembered as a woman who stood up for her rights by sitting down. ABC's Jim Hickey has her story.
Pick 'em up and lay 'em down.
One of the sparks for civil rights protests was the quiet resolve of Rosa Parks to not give up her seat on a bus to a white man. Caught up in the movement she helped create, like Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks also had a dream.
A world of peace, prosperity, justice, and freedom for everybody.
Among those who mourn the mother of civil rights, the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
She paved the way for so many.
Calling her a woman of grace and humility. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
There is still hope in Houston, despite the fact that the Astros are two games down as they face the Chicago White Sox tonight in Game 3 of the World Series.
We've never gotten this far before. We're living the dream. They all have heart. They all have character. They never give up.
The Astros are going to come through. We're going to win all three here.
We take these three, we'll go back to Chicago and win it all. This town's up, baby.
It's costing bigger bucks on Broadway. Monty Python's Spamalot has become the third show to break the $100 barrier. Orchestra seat tickets for Spamalot, Wicked, and Mamma Mia go for $110. And they sell out all the time, and that may seem like a bargain when you consider that most Broadway shows crank up ticket prices for the holidays. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'll be at Home Depot's end-of-season savings event? Well, number three is 30% off. You got to be kidding me. Come on. Number two is they're not kidding me. You get 30% off, you know. And the number one reason, it's that whole 30% off thing again.
Hurry in now to the Home Depot and get 30% or more off all yellow tag merchandise throughout the store. It's the end of season savings event, only at the Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Valid in U.S. only. See store for details.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
Here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as...
A generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477. Ameriprise Financial Services, number NASD and SIPC.
The special prosecutor investigating the outing of a CIA agent has documents implicating Vice President Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby. A grand jury indictment in the case could come sometime this week. More from ABC's Ann Compton.
The New York Times reports on meeting notes in the hands of the prosecutor, which do not answer the question who leaked the name to reporters, which would be a crime, but do indicate a key figure, Scooter Libby, heard the identity from his boss, Vice President Cheney. That would contradict Libby's sworn testimony that he heard the identity from journalists. It may open him to charges of making false statements to a grand jury. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
In Charleston, West Virginia, 17-year-old Lincoln High homecoming queen Darby Lentz wore unusual attire when she accepted her crown. She was clad in her football uniform. She didn't know she'd been elected queen until the announcement was made during halftime. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 4 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's news, traffic, and weather. This hour's news is sponsored by Ashley Home Furniture Stores. Two individuals are recovering after serious injuries from a weekend crash that killed four people. Police say a 17-year-old driver of a pickup truck fell asleep at the wheel early Sunday morning on Highway 67 in Pike County and struck a minivan parked on the side of the highway. 33-year-old Marcos Barris and three young children were in the van, Jordan Aureliano, Hoden Barris, and George Nava were all pronounced dead at the scene. Two others were in the minivan and were airlifted to St. Louis, where they remain hospitalized. Governor Matt Blunt is among those exploring the possible changes in the state's emission testing program. One change could allow cars predating 1996 to skip emissions testing altogether. Blunt says some changes to the system are needed.
I do think we need to go to a more decentralized model that's more convenient for people that are trying to comply with Missouri law. The idea that you ought to only require testing with those vehicles where it's easy to do that diagnostic test is, I think, a reasonable one that we need to explore.
Blunt says he is working with his staff and the Department of Natural Resources to find changes that will make testing more convenient for consumers while meeting federal mandates of the Environmental Protection Agency. St. Louis University is trying to determine why pregnant women drink despite knowing the dangers of alcohol poses to unborn babies. Lead investigator Dr. Mark Mengel says the researchers are trying to find ways to discourage women from drinking, thus delivering more healthy babies. Mengel says 11% of women knowingly drink during pregnancy, which can result in brain damage and other problems for the child's entire lifetime. The study will look at both pregnant women and non-pregnant women who are heavy drinkers. For more information on the study, you can call 1-800-515-8630 or log on to www.safepregnancy.org. This hour's news has been sponsored by Ashley Home Furniture Stores. The Ashley Furniture Home Store means big savings for you, like no interest and no payments for 1 year. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood and South County. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920. Now let's take a look at your WGNU traffic. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom. Eastbound 70 at West Florissant, no sign of that earlier reported accident. Eastbound 70 between Midrivers Mall and 370, look for a disabled vehicle. Left lane is blocked. Northbound 55 between Germania and Lafayette, no problems reported there. Eastbound 70 from K to Blanchett Bridge, everything's running smoothly. Eastbound 44 from Lewis all the way to the Merrimack River Bridge, everything is on the move. Westbound 70 and 94, there's road construction, left lane is closed. In both directions, 40 at Hanley, that traffic's easing. Westbound 270 at 367 and Graham Hanley, no problems reported there as well. Westbound 55, 70 split at PSB. Looks good. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing, nothing to report there as well. Eastbound 5570 from 4th Street to the Kingbridge split, look for road construction. The left lane will be closed. That's a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom. With TomTom, you just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you to where you're going. Grab it and go. TomTom is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Visit TomTom.com, and you're on your way. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. This evening, mostly clear with a low in the upper 30s. Wednesday, mostly sunny, widespread early frost in the morning. However, the high will be around 60. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 40. And Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have some clouds and 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting sunshine with some clouds and 45 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Tonight at midnight, Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed in connection with the Chain of Rocks murder case. Behind the scenes, efforts are being made to get a stay granted because of so many inconsistencies that surround this case. Liz Brown will be broadcasting live from the Farmington Correctional Center beginning just before midnight tonight and will talk with members of Marlon Gray's family and others who are interceding on his behalf. Will justice truly be served tonight, or will it be another chapter in the book of being poor and black in America? Join Liz Brown tonight, just before midnight, broadcasting live from Farmington as we follow the justice for Marlon Gray.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Our guest this morning for this hour is Lev Navrozov, author and columnist for Newsmax.com and WorldTribune.com. He's joining us from New York.
Mr. Navrazov, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Well, everything is fine. I'm expecting an interesting interview.
I am, too. So let's begin at the beginning here. You've written all kinds of columns on nanoweapons. Talk to us about what is nanotechnology, and if someone were to attack the United States, can nanotechnology take it out or neutralize it? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, let me sort of, you know, just give you the gist of the geostrategy today. The thing is, you know, world peace has rested so far in the last half a century or so on what was known as mutual assured destruction. You understand, every nuclear power, such as Russia, China, the United States, have concealed means of retaliation in case it is attacked by nuclear weapons. For example, submarines submerged deep underwater. You see, if one of these countries, you know, just these actually nuclear superpowers, is attacked by another, then the attacked the submarines of the attacked country will come to the surface and will destroy the attacker with nuclear weapons aboard those submarines. You see, it's called mutual assured destruction. In other words, no one can attack sort of, you know, just in by nuclear weapons, because the attacker will be destroyed by the country attacked.
You attack us, but we attack you.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of, now, the problem of a successful attacker has been, is that nuclear weapons cannot destroy, for example, submarines deep underwater. You see, nuclear weapons cannot destroy the Atlantic or the Pacific and get those submarines. Therefore, the search, which opened in Russia in the early 70s, but then sort of stopped because, you know, the dictatorship fell, and which started in China in 1986, was to develop a weapon which would be able to destroy the enemy means of retaliation. For example, submarines deep underwater. And one of the candidates, and you see, I must say, you know, that the Chinese dictators founded what is called the Program 863, because it was in 96, and it started the development of post-nuclear super weapons in seven fields. Therefore, it is wrong, you know, to concentrate on nanoweapons only. Simply, nanoweapons have become sort of more fashionable, perhaps, and better known, but if they are sort of, you know, just have many different avenues towards super weapons which would be able to destroy the American means of retaliation, and thus will have the United States and the West at its mercy, and perhaps it will sort of lead to unconditional surrender.
Well, you say in some of your columns that you ask any Chinese child about what is the 863 plan. Tell us what the 863 plan is.
It's a kind of, you know, just, well, call it a super university or super academy that is engaged in the development of super weapons in seven fields. then, you know, just more fields, you know, just were added, of course. But even initially, in 1986, the development proceeded in seven fields, including, you know, just nanotechnology, which was fashionable. And let me give you, for example, you know, this example. You know, just here is in front of me a Chinese newspaper, which is called the Beijing Evening. It is dated by 2011-13. 2000. Now, this is, as you see from the title, this is a kind of, you know, just an evening newspaper for the people, not for specialists, for God's sake, but for general, you know, like the New York Post, for example, in New York, you know, just, or whatever, you know, just such newspapers you have, you know, for the masses, for the general public. And it has an article which is called, and I'm quoting, Tiny Nano Devils Tiny Nano Devils Catch a Huge Evil Spirit. You understand? In other words, this is kind of, you know, just an article about nanoweapons in 2000. You know, just it's for the general public. Mm. You see, wow. You know, just I have, for example, in Britain, the BBC says that in 2004, more than 70% of the British had never heard of nanotechnology at all. You understand? In other words, it shows, you know, of course, I can give many other examples, but it shows, you know, how intensely they're occupied with this idea and how slack and non-existent the response of the United States and of the Western general is.
So, okay, so we have the description of and a discussion of nanotechnology appearing on their New York Post type of newspaper.
Yeah, right.
So talk to us about, define for us what this is.
Well, you understand, it's sort of, let me just say that those of your readers who are interested in the serious study of the subject may go to the book written by the founder of nanotechnology. He is Eric Drexler, an American. His book is called Engines of Creation and subtitled The Coming Era of Nanotechnology. It was published, guess when, in 1986. Just when, you know, just that project was founded in China, mm-hmm. the same year. And it has a chapter which is entitled Engines of Destruction. It's 20 or 30 pages, and it is a scientific account of nanoweapons. Sort of anticipating, you know, just what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Drexler, you know, the founder of nanotechnology, first of all, he didn't get a Nobel Prize. That's number one. Number two, he founded an institute which is called Foresight. It's devoted to nanotechnological studies. But what happened is that Congress didn't allocate a cent for the institute. As a result, he sort of resigned. He's no longer the director of that Foresight Institute. And he sort of, you know, just, he became a no person, so to speak. I'm telling this to show, you know, this is the destiny of nanotechnology in the United States. The founder Not nanotechnology, I mean the development of nanoweapons in the United States. The founder of nanotechnology, who devoted a special chapter in his book to nanoweapons, is a no person now, so to speak. He's sort of, you know, just whether he's willingly resigned or whether they said, look, you know, just Drexler, if because of you, because of your chapter, we're not giving any money from Congress. Please, you know, just go away for a while. You know, just this is my supposition because, of course, I don't know. I knew him personally, and I'm a sort of a member of that institute, but I don't know, you know, just such intimate relations. But the net result is that the whole thing is sort of is buried. It doesn't exist. Now, what it is, according to his description, you understand it is possible to create computers, we may call it computers, as small as a molecule. Therefore, it is called molecular nanoweapons. These are sort of tiny, tiny, compared with them, microbes are sort of, you know, giants. So particles, each of which is a kind of self-guiding computer.
In fact,
and they multiply on their own.
In fact, the word nano means 1 billionth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nano means 1 billionth mm-hmm. of a meter. They are as small. They are small. But they multiply. Just multiply like viruses. Though they are not living things. They are created things like crystals, rather. But they, just like crystals, crystals also multiply if there is an environment. In anyway, they multiply and become a huge cloud of billions of such tiny nanoparticles, tiny nanoassemblers, they're called. And they move and sort of destroy everything.
Because they're so small, they can penetrate like a molecule.
Yeah, yeah, they can penetrate, and they are an absolute destructor. And what is important is that unlike nuclear power, nuclear weapons, they can penetrate the let us say, the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean and find those nuclear those submarines with nuclear weapons aboard and destroy them, reduce them to atoms.
Okay, let me back up just a little bit. I get the piece where they're so small that they can penetrate a molecule, but you're saying that within the let's say job description of one of these nano weapons, that this nano is the ability to seek out as well. They'll be able to have that kind of intelligence to go looking for. They can be programmed to look for a
exactly. Okay. Exactly. They are sort of, you know, just tiny computers, so to speak, self-guiding computers, and they can be, of course, you know, just also guided by the military top, you know, just where they should go and so on. It's like an army of tiny molecules, so to speak, and this is in keeping with a general scale of nanotechnology. It sort of it achieves, you know, some sort of kind of such small scales that have been absolutely inconceivable before. So they are also, you know, just such tiny assemblers, you know, just Drexler calls them assemblers. Because they multiply. And
like a crystal, they multiply.
Yeah, you may say, you know, you may say that it is only a comparison.
Okay, because a crystal requires a certain type of environment in order to multiply.
Absolutely, no, it's different. It's simply the comparison with crystals, you know, shows that they are not organic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are not microbes
mm-hmm.
of viruses. They're not viruses, though Drexler calls them kind of, you know, just viruses in quotes to show that they, in scale and size, they're like viruses. And they can multiply like viruses, but they are not organic matter. And you understand, you know, the country which possesses such a weapon actually establishes world domination, you know, because the United States and West will have no alternative but surrender unconditionally.
Okay, and let me get to a caller here. Let me get to a caller or two. Christine, you have a question for our guest, Lev Navarotz.
Yes, about 2 years ago, I called your show, and I was telling your listening audience about a report that came out of Africa that this type of technology had been used to kill all the people in the village and leave the buildings and structures intact. And I want to know, is this the same type of technology he's talking about where you can kill up all the people and leave the structures intact?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, but you sort of, I must say that the target of the strategy, the purpose of the strategy, is to destroy the enemy means of nuclear retaliation. After that, after they're destroyed, the country is at your mercy, you see, and you can destroy their people by nuclear weapons if you wish, because they cannot retaliate, you see, and of course you can destroy it also by nano weapons. This is possible, but what I'm saying is that it is possible to destroy them even by nuclear weapons, because the country, the United States, will not be able to retaliate. And if it cannot retaliate, then it is at the mercy of a nuclear attacker.
And we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Lev Navarotz, author and columnist for Newsmax.com and WorldTribune.com. Joining us from New York, I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Don't forget we are broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Check out lizbrown.com. I'll be back. Stay with us.
This is AM 920, WGNU, Radio Free St. Louis. Remember to listen to us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
Join the Edward Jones Boo at the Zoo on Saturday, October 29th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Admission is free and reservations are not needed. Children are encouraged to wear costumes. This year's glow-in-the-dark souvenir T-shirt is available by calling 314-768-5440. To find out more, call 314-781-0900 or visit www.stlzoo.org. Something for your little ghouls and goblins from Radio Free St. Louis.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard, and at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year.
Coming up Wednesday on The Wake Up Call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table.
big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on The Wake Up Call.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and eliminate gutter cleaning forever? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System from United Homecraft, one of St. Louis's oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the ITEX Trade Exchange. Your ITEX trade dollars are welcome.
Tonight at midnight, Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed in connection with the Chain of Rocks murder case. Behind the scenes, efforts are being made to get a stay granted because of so many inconsistencies that surround this case. Liz Brown will be broadcasting live from the Farmington Correctional Center beginning just before midnight tonight and will talk with members of Marlon Gray's family and others who are interceding on his behalf. Will justice truly be served tonight, or will it be another chapter in the book of being poor and black in America? Join Liz Brown tonight, just before midnight, broadcasting live from Farmington as we follow the justice for Marlon Gray. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. They see myself, got to rise up. You got to rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, that rise up, oh. Rise up, oh.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Lev Navrozov. He is an author and columnist for Newsmax.com and WorldTribune.com. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about nanoweapons. Yes, yes, we are. Mr. Navrozov, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I guess my question to you is about this nuclear retaliation and nanoweapons. Explain to me why it would be that if this technology exists, and we've had authors like Eric Drexler talk about it, explain it, and newspapers in China reporting on it, why on earth wouldn't the United States be at the forefront of this or be involved in this?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. It is a crucial question because, you know, that's the problem. You know, just I spoke, as your listener said, I spoke 2 years ago on your station, and nothing has moved since then. I'm sort of still a voice in the wilderness, so to speak. And why? Remember that in 1938, no one in Britain, no one wanted to speak about possible aggressive designs of Adolf Hitler. It was sort of, you know, just it was not a subject, and only due to the fact that in 1939. Adolf Hitler, first of all, grabbed the rest of Czechoslovakia. You remember he was given that part of Czechoslovakia where mostly populated by Germans, and he accepted, and there was an agreement and all that, and it was celebrated all over the world as a victory for peace, and suddenly he grabbed what is called the rump of Czechoslovakia. That's number one. Number two, he launched war against Poland. Of course, to take Poland and move on to Russia. Why Russia? Because you understand, he wanted resources, natural resources of Russia, to convert them into armed forces sufficient to defeat the English-speaking countries. In other words, Russia was necessary to him as a source of raw materials for the creation of military forces. Only then did England wake up, and Churchill appeared instead of Chamberlain. Now, there is nothing like that in the Chinese situation. If China had done something atrocious, like, for example, the conquest of Mexico, or or part of Canada, or something like that, then, of course, the mood would change. As it is, China is, the dictators are quite shrewd. They give no pretext for that change of the mood. They are very careful about even Taiwan. They keep threatening for 20 years, but they have not attacked, Taiwan as yet, because they are afraid of the change of mood in the United States and perhaps in the West as a whole as a result. They are very, very, very clever in this respect. Therefore, and then we go into the subject of social psychology. It's kind of, John Stuart Mill, the great thinker, wrote in 1859 that about the role of conformities in a society protected against the tyranny of the political leaders. In those societies, conformities play, they are not imposed by any government or any force. They are spontaneous. But John Stuart Mill says that the fact that they are spontaneous makes them even more irresistible, aggressive.
If I could just interrupt just for a second, because there's a thought that just keeps rolling through my head. This is the United States of America.
Yep.
The United States of America that loves technology past its heart, that spends trillions of dollars on weaponry, some of it experimental, some they always want the sexiest, the fastest technological piece of weaponry out there, and currently we're under an administration that loves the military more than probably life itself, in terms of the support, in terms of the free reign, in terms of the money that the military gets. That doesn't make any sense to me that the United States wouldn't be investigating this, let alone for the reason that simply because they're asleep at the wheel.
But the thing is, the conformity is, the present conformity denies even the modern theory of geostrategy. What is geostrategy, today? That's a global strategy. What is global strategy today? It was inaugurated, ironically enough, by the United States when the United States dropped 2 atom bombs on Japan. It's the United States was kind of legitimate because Japan attacked the United States and the United States... The war with Japan was imposed on the United States in that sense. Therefore, it is not any moral condemnation on my part. But the thing is, that what happened? Japan developed all weapons, no worse than the United States. their aircraft, their ships, and so on, all were excellent. But nuclear power in 1945 was what they call a super weapon. In other words, a weapon compared with which all the other weapons means nothing. And Japan surrendered unconditionally, despite its samurais, despite its kamikaze, and so on and so forth. And it surrendered because a super weapon came. If you deep into the history of wars, you'll see that the same effect was produced by firearms. You know, when firearms came, firearms were super weapons. Forget it. Forget all those, you know, just tomahawks or arrows or whatever. The country which possessed firearms was an automatic winner. The same happened in Japan. But then, you know, this historic experience has been forgotten in the United States. Because it's a matter not of the military. Of course, I read everything that Pentagon reads every year about China. It's kind of, you know, just...
But the United States sees enemies everywhere. That's one of the shticks of the United States. that's what the United States does.
But look, you know, just that's the other side of it. That the United States saw a mortal enemy in Iraq. You know, just don't laugh. In Iraq, compared with China, a tiny, a backward country that was suddenly, you know, just some weapons of mass destruction.
But those were all lies.
You know, just some plotting with, you know, all kinds of fantasies.
Right.
And the attention was concentrated since 1991 on Iraq. And let me tell you, you know, just one thing that is sort of, you know, that is not generally known. The thing is, you know, that George H.W. Bush, the father of George Bush, appointed April Glaspie ambassador to Iraq, and she assured, it was in 1990, and she assured Saddam Hussein that if he seizes Kuwait, the United States will not mind, will not interfere, and this is none of the American business. You understand? He provoked Saddam Hussein into the seizure of Kuwait. And, of course, you know, just when it happened, you know, just he said, oh, you know, just the aggressors, they seized, you know, that poor, innocent country, Kuwait, and it started and went on for 25 years.
Okay, and we have to take a break right now. I'm talking to Lev Navrozov. He's
right.
An author and columnist for Newsmax.com and WorldTribune.com. He's joining us from New York. We'll be back to talk some more about nanoweapons and nanotechnology. Stay with us.
Coming up Wednesday on the Wake Up Call, we follow the paper trail of Tom DeLay. Imagine that, the House Majority Leader indicted for violating campaign finance laws, charged with funneling nearly $200,000 under the table. Big money from big companies like Sears Roebuck, Bacardi, and Diversified Collection Services. You'll find out what 527s are and how DeLay used them like his own personal play toy as we follow the Tom DeLay Money Trail Wednesday morning at 8 here on the Wake Up Call. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update. Dateline Philadelphia. Court documents have been unsealed pertaining to the death of former Pennsylvania Senator John Hines. He was killed in a mid-air collision in 1991.
Those documents show that his widow, Teresa Hines Carey, who is now married to Massachusetts Senator John Carey, received a $15 million settlement from the owners of the airplane her husband was flying on, as well as from the owners of the helicopter that was also involved in the crash. The Hines estate wanted to keep the settlement sealed, saying the family needed their security and privacy. Teresa Hines Carey is heiress to the fortune of the Hines Food Company, which is estimated to be worth about $500 million. A Philadelphia newspaper began the push to get the record unsealed last year when John Carey was in the middle of his presidential race. And Dateline Washington. The investigation by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald into the leaking of the identity of Valerie Plame has uncovered evidence that documents may have been forged pertaining to intelligence information on the African uranium that Saddam Hussein was said to be trying to obtain. The prosecutors have gotten a report compiled by Italian authorities on the matter. The claim that the government of Niger supplied Iraq with yellowcake uranium was based on falsified documents from the Nigerian government. The White House apparently knew they were fake, but used them to promote the need for invasion. The Italians found a security consultant who offered to sell the documents proving Niger was selling the uranium to Iraq, but that security consultant wanted $10,000 for them. Those were the documents the White House incorporated into their intelligence findings. This is your wake-up call global news update.
All right, the Blues are back.
Yeah, baby.
But we need to make sure you're in game shape before they hit the ice again.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I want some quick answers. You ready?
You bet. Let's fire away.
First one. He shoots. He
scores.
Light the
lamp. Too easy, man. Try some harder ones.
Right, baby steps. Baby steps.
Right.
Try these. Put the blank in the blank.
Biscuit in the basket.
Let's go.
Blues.
Kick save.
And a beauty.
Do you bleed?
Blue. Come on. I thought these were supposed to be harder.
Careful what you wish for, because here comes the lightning round.
Bring it on.
Drop the
puck.
Between the
pipes.
Warm up the
bus.
Teams you hate.
Coyotes, Sharks, Canucks, Oilers.
But the teams you despise.
Red Wings, Avalanche, Blackhawks, and Stars.
And the Flames. Never forget the Flames. Next one. Best moment of your life is?
A tie between the time I won the on-ice tricycle race and the time I suck a chuck at the mall.
You're so ready for the season, my friend.
Get back in blue. Visit stlouisblues.com for special discounts and promotional information. Tickets on sale at the box office, Ticketmaster outlet, stlouisblues.com, or call 314-622-BLUE.
Ever hear of the Restore?
Yeah, where is it?
3763 Forest Park Avenue, east of Vanaventer, west of Spring.
What's in the Restore?
It's an eclectic mix of new and used building materials.
Like cabinets, stoves, hardware?
Absolutely. Everything from windows and doors to the kitchen sink, and then some.
And your purchases benefit Habitat for Humanity St. Louis, right?
Yes, they do.
I gotta check this out. When's the Restore open?
Tuesday through Saturday, 9 to 4.
3763 Forest Park Avenue.
The Restore. Check it out.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and even sometimes wearing a mask. Listen to me Tuesdays at 8. A little history, a little entertainment, and a lot of good fun and healthy debate. Call me and argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear, the Sloan Ranger does not shoot to kill. That's Tuesdays at 8 until 10. Here on WGNU.
Wake Up Call family. We want to remind you that the second Wake Up Call blanket drive is now set for Friday, November 18th. And once again, we're partnering with our friends at Carver House to provide those in need in our community with the gift of warmth. This year, we've set a goal of collecting 5,000 blankets. And with your help, we know we can make it happen. The Wake Up Call blanket drive will have two collection points again this year. In the lobby of the Congress and Senate building, the home of WGNU Radio, at 265 Union Boulevard. And at Carver House, 3035 Bell Avenue. Again, that date is Friday, November 18th. The need is greater than ever, and we're counting on you, St. Louis, for 5,000 blankets. Don't forget, the second annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is Friday, November 18th, with a live broadcast from Carver House at 3035 Bell from 7 to 10 that morning. Thank you for what you did last year and what you will do this year. Tonight at midnight, Marlon Gray is scheduled to be executed in connection with the Chain of Rocks murder case. Behind the scenes, efforts are being made to get a stay granted because of so many inconsistencies that surround this case. Liz Brown will be broadcasting live from the Farmington Correctional Center beginning just before midnight tonight and will talk with members of Marlon Gray's family and others who are interceding on his behalf. Will justice truly be served tonight, or will it be another chapter in the book of being poor and black in America? Join Liz Brown tonight just before midnight, broadcasting live from Farmington as we follow the justice for Marlon Gray.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Baile para qué, baile musebetín, baile para qué, baile musebetín, macanisi conando, pensa Juan Calena. Macanisi conando, pensa Juan Calena. Baile para qué, baile musebetín. Baile para qué, baile musebesin, macanisi kwanamu, mesa Juan Calenala, macanisi kwanamu, mesa Juan Calenala.
Oh, welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Don't forget that we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net. We also are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Our toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. This morning we have about five more minutes left, and we're talking to Lev Navrazov, an author and columnist for Newsmax.com and WorldTribune.com, joining us from New York. And we're talking about this nanotechnology. And Mr. Navrazov, if we could, I'd like to just back up just a little bit and get back into the technology itself of this nanotechnology. Can you explain to me how the device works? So we're talking about a bomb type of shape thing, a bullet shape thing. How does it work?
No, we are talking about a cloud of viruses, unquote. In other words, of non-organic viruses, tiny, super tiny machines which multiply, and hence the cloud expands, and the cloud is directed by the top military in the required direction, and is required to destroy the submarines or whatever. It's kind of, you know, and in this way that famous mutual assured destruction is circumvented. It's sort of, you know, and if it's circumvented, the victory belongs to the side which sort of uses that weapon. Now, it's you see, the thing is, you know, that the situation, you see, I've written a book sort of on the subject, but it's a general and sort of entertaining book in general. It says many things about Russia and the United States and all that. But publishers, well, they respect me because my previous book received more than 100 reviews, which compared me to Mark Twain, Voltaire, Orwell, and Dostoevsky, among others, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is implied that my new book is written well, and they admit it, that it's witty, lively. It's in other words, it's the top writing. But they say, remove China, then we will publish it. But of course, I won't remove it, and it is unpublishable. And the only thing I sort of anticipated it and found it way back in 1978, a non-profit called the Center for the Survival of Western Democracies, Incorporated.
I'm sorry, Mr. Nabazov. We have to go now. Can people find you on the web?
Yes, it's, you know, just this is my address: Navlev, N-A-V-L-E-V, Navlev. That's abbreviation of Navrozov Lev. You
mm-hmm.
understand?
Okay.
Navlev at Cloud 9. 9 is a number 9. .net. I repeat, Navlev at Cloud 9. .net.
Mr. Lev Navrozov, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Not at all.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your attention.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, please don't forget, tonight we're going to be broadcasting from midnight. At midnight, we will be going to, if they execute Marlon Gray tonight, we will be there. Irene J. Smith will be in the studio. I will be at Bonterre. And we will be reporting live starting at 1 minute till midnight tonight. My name is Liz Brown. I'll talk to you later tonight. Stay with me.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. The struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. The state of Florida is still reeling after a roundhouse punch from Hurricane Wilma. ABC's Alex Stone has the view from Miami, where he says recovery is already in progress.
Millions of people are without power. 98% of Miami was in a blackout overnight. A curfew was in effect to stop looting. This woman is in Fort Lauderdale.
So far, the back of the house is standing, but the walls are separated, so I don't know what we're going to be able to tell.